This is PFW in Progress.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue.
PFW in Progress.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood. We used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
With Fred Kirsch.
You afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself? You want to do it now? You want to do it right now?
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. He's like, there's no gabagoo.
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
Paul Ferrillo.
Isn't that just like a wop who brings a knife to a gunfight?
Get out of here, you jagle bastard.
And Andy. And Andy?
Yes, I knew it. That's all you need, one thieving wop on the team. I said that you're a lying member of a no-good race.
Andy Hart.
Much better than you, you stinking Irish pig.
Oh, I like
him. Some guy named Tom.
I want that son of a dead. I want him dead. I want you to get this where he breathes. I want you to find this Nancy boy. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
PFW in Progress.
That's the way I feel about David Tyree. Anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred's here. Andy's here. Tom, the leg, Paul, Gary's in the booth. We're all here. And I'd like to start the show off with a statement. I think that I know this has been, this is actually the first show I think I've done since the Super Bowl.
I think it is.
No, I think you did one.
Did I do the first one
after the Super Bowl?
Anyway.
You check in every day to see if there's lunch, but.
Today there was. I think as Patriots fans, we need to move on. I think the time of mourning is over. I don't mean that we have to go relive the game or watch the game or talk about the game or do anything about the game. But I think we need to start looking at 08, start getting into this draft, start getting into free agency, this tampering period, and, you know, start looking at what we need to do in 08 to get back. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to come back with a vengeance. The world hates us, so be it. It's okay. In fact, I'm thinking of coming out with a T-shirt that has the Elvis logo and hate this under that.
So if we were raping and pillaging last year, what are we going to do this year?
Oh, we're not stopping at that. We're not stopping at that.
Okay.
You know, what's after
that?
What's after raping and pillaging?
We're practicing witchcraft. We're doing everything. We're killing goats and leaving their bodies in front of elementary schools. We're doing everything.
What are you talking about?
I mean, no, but we got to come back with a vengeance. We can't, you know, straggle into this season. Oh, woe is us. It was such a we got to come back like we are so pissed off.
So does that mean you have to go 19-0?
You don't have to, but you got to win the Super Bowl. That's what you got to do.
So the records don't matter anymore?
Free agent that's decent, that loves football, they get a shot to come here if they want to come.
They get a shot.
I want
to
monopolize.
Terrell Suggs, we'll give you a shot if you
want
to come
anybody
here.
Anybody we want, I want to go get them.
So all the meaningless records that you were all harping about all year, we don't have to get those anymore. Now we have to win the Super Bowl.
No, we just have to destroy teams and get to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And kill a couple goats.
Maybe. Possibly. So that's my opening statement.
No animals should be harmed in this, Fred. Come on.
No animals should be harmed?
No.
Unless they're a raven, a ram, a bear, those kind of animals.
Right, yes. Figuratively.
Yeah.
Sure.
But so that's my opening statement. Any rebuttals? Anyone?
No, I think that's accurate.
Okay. I think it's
the sanest thing you've ever said.
I just wonder if that – I feel like that was the mentality last year in the offseason. I just wonder if it's going to be –
The question I have,
be able to duplicate
can
that.
A player
can do it?
Yeah. Can a player, everybody talked about that indie game and how motivating that was and that feeling. Can you do it 2 years in a row? Can you really just everything you have? I mean, Tom Brady's dad was quoted in the paper talking about how he's so focused all year. How long can you do that before on some level you think you're still doing it, but you're not. You're burnt out and it's not the same.
This year is a fair point.
This year is different because last year they lost, but we all thought they overachieved to begin with. Against Indianapolis,
and felt like they should have won.
And then they loaded
this year
up.
They choked.
This year they were stunned. You saw it on the field. We were stunned in the stands.
Oh,
everyone's
yeah.
just stunned.
I mean, this is the fifth, you know, or the fourth in a recent memory that we've been to. This is the one, the Super Bowl, that they didn't prepare for a loss. All the others, you know, what if they lose? And you kind of prepare yourself for it.
It was your fault.
There was no way in my mind that they were going to lose this game, and I was not prepared for that.
Presumptuous Fred Kirsch.
I was not prepared for that.
Now, do you think in some ways the players and coaches were feeling that a little bit?
I don't know. Maybe.
How can you not on some level, somewhere way back down?
You're a human being. You know that how good you are.
Right, and you had no expectation that you were going to fall flat. It was, you know, they win that and they're part of, what was it? Ever.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Well, they are, but not the way they want it to be.
All right. Well, first of all, we have to give a big round of thank yous to Christian Simonelli, who provided today's lunch. And because of that, of course, we read his email, which says, I'll call it in at 11:30. Thanks, Gary. That's his email. But, Chris, if you want to email in later in the show with a specific question, we'd be happy to get right to it.
Actually, I think he's going to call in at 11:30, isn't he?
Fred's made up for lost time, by the way. He's clearly brought it. The first 10 minutes have been very, very good for you.
Well,
Fred.
I think
that was an excellent statement.
We've got to get going.
Well, the rest of us have kind of, you know, Eric and Andy are heading to the combine tomorrow. Tom's already got like half a linebacker story written. He's not even going to the combine.
Well, I just wanted to mention
the rest of us have moved on, but it's glad to see that you're finally.
I'm glad you mentioned that,
following.
Paul, because Andy and Eric, in fact, are going to the combine. Tom is not, but that's okay. He'll be contributing during that period with stories. You guys will be there blogging. Mm-hmm. You'll be attending all the media sessions, mm-hmm. getting to know some of these guys, especially the ones that are in positions that the Patriots could be interested in. There'll be coaches there. You'll be talking with GMs.
Will you be available between noon and 2?
Why not?
Probably not. It's probably going to be too busy getting stuff.
There's a chance we miss. I mean, all right, well, it's just nonstop all day long.
Here's what you do. You have your cell phone.
I don't know if you know, Gary, but that's when the reservation at St. Elmo's is.
If you have a lull.
That's 8 on Friday.
Listen, if you have a lull, just call in. It's that simple.
What's the problem?
Just call in.
But the lull is when I could. I mean,
just post it up on one of the five worst
blogs in
Boston.
You ain't gonna pull the wool over my eyes. I know what the combine is
right.
all
Describe
about.
What's the action?
A lot of it is us sitting at the table making fun of other media members.
Yes,
right.
No. That's only for the five worst blogs in Boston. So
it'll be
but
funny.
You can miss a guy at any time.
Oh, I know.
Remember, who was it? We came down the stairs before it was supposed
to
start.
Abdul
Hodge, and I see him leaving.
But listen, if you
hadn't started yet, and he was leaving.
Listen, if you're talking on the phone. And you're in the lobby, and there goes Rich Eisen.
I don't
just,
do that.
You know, we'll understand.
Well,
we certainly don't care
about Rich Eisen.
We'll be in the room working.
We'll understand.
Fred, can I make a statement?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Paul had mentioned that Bruce Allen rated the five worst blogs.
Oh, I didn't mention that.
But no, we were number two in the five
it's
worst blogs.
It's good to be recognized.
But no, it's a slap in
we
the
wanna
face.
Be number
we
one.
I think we're by far and away the worst blog in Boston
sports. That is
sports.
True. That is
and I want that number one ranking.
Butch Stearns.
What do we have to do
so
with
I don't
Butch
know.
Stearns? Touche.
But I think all our fans should email in to Bruce Allen. I mean, you say you love us so much, you love the blog. Well, email him and let him know how much you love it.
Absolutely. We should be number one
yes.
worst.
I want number one at something. Best, worst, I don't care. Just
absolutely.
Make us number one.
Absolutely. But you know what is funny? As I read that too, and then I looked at the number of comments that his blog gets compared to the number of comments that our blog gets. Well, we're doing something right.
How about just the number of comments that Kelly Pickler posted?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, because
that seemed to draw his ire.
I think what people, you know, if there is criticism of what we do, whether it's on the blog or here on the radio, it's different than the paper. Mm-hmm. And B, it's as much entertainment as it is sports.
Yeah.
We are trying to entertain people. Now, you can disagree whether we're doing a good job at that. Fine. But that's what we're trying to do. It's not, you know, pure football because you just can't do that.
Right. And the only thing I would say, Fred, that he's entitled to his opinion like you said, but these guys are going to go to the combine. We're going to have as much information better than anybody around here. Not once will he link to our blog. During the draft, when we blow everybody out of the water with all our information, not once does he link to the blog. So I don't care if he's going to criticize us, but you should say it like it is, too, because the Globe's going to be down there, the Herald's going to be down there, and these two will blow both those papers out of the water.
And just so you know, Tom, it's not a big deal.
No,
the only people that read him are in the media industry.
Right.
No Joe fan really reads him.
That's
he probably gets like 200 hits a day.
I'm not mad. I'm just...
All right, Paul, you were right for crying out loud. He's a loser. I hate him. Let's get rid of him.
Thank you.
I'm just saying it's okay to take shots at us and say you don't like this part of it, but when we do the different stuff, we should be recognized for that as well.
All right, the other thing I want to do is thank everybody who participated in our survey that we had during the playoffs. We
had me?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, literally, of respondents. And we have to pick three people because I think I have two Mike Vrabel and one Troy Brown posters that I'm going to give out to three people that we'll pick randomly.
Are they autographed?
Yes, they are autographed. And so we'll announce that, and we'll send that out. But I want to thank everyone, and I think there were a lot of good comments. A lot of it was, you know, just making fun of us and stuff. But, no, but I think there was
a lot of comment.
Yeah, but I think there was a lot of good constructive criticism and stuff that people like, stuff they don't like. And the bottom line is people care.
Right.
And that's the most important thing, is that they took the time to write down their comments.
So the bottom line is the people have spoken, and I can't make fun of Eric anymore.
No.
Have you read through the comments yet, Andy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, because Paul and I have it, because we can't figure out how to use one of them.
I don't know how to use that.
Can we not do a random one? Can I pick one guy for one of the prizes?
No.
One guy who said he doesn't subscribe, and his reason was bankruptcy. I laughed out loud when I read it.
Then the poster will end up on eBay.
Just so you know, in a couple years, you won't have to worry about it. That'll go right away. Bankruptcy?
Yeah, Tom knows.
Yeah, after a couple
experience.
Years.
I mean, we had a lot of good comments. A lot of them had to do with the volume.
Gary.
And some of them had to do with
he's swearing in there. Look at him.
Some of them had to do with Eric. So I do. I do happen to know that we have a very large gay contingency.
Wow.
So I think that we should lay off the gay jokes.
Where are you going here?
No, a lot of people who are gay listen.
He's taking a shot at me.
I'm not. No, I am not.
Are gay listen.
No, I think we should lay off those jokes.
All right, I really do. I have an important request out here.
Plus,
strippers.
You should stop Fred from talking because
that's part of my reasoning. But strippers, I was driving to work today on 128, and what should pull up beside me, Fred, but a car.
What kind of car?
It was, I don't know, maybe an Infiniti, one of those kind of things. I never really got
SUV?
A good look at it. No, it was a sedan style. But the license plate was Sooners, and it was a New Hampshire license plate, to which I say, how many people... Yeah. Could have Sooner license plates in New Hampshire other than our buddy Strippers. So I want to know if this was indeed Strippers.
And Strippers doesn't fit on a license plate.
Right. Well, Sooners did.
And his mom might see his car.
Anyway, I got to know if that was him.
All right. Chris Simonelli has, in fact, now sent us an email with a question. He said, glad I got you the lunch. He says, I must say I'm glad Belichick and Pioli finally came out and said something. I must admit, though, the part that Belichick couldn't even pick Matt Walsh out of a lineup bothers me. From what you guys say and what I've seen following the team is that he is all-seeing and all-knowing. I wonder what you guys think. Also, where has Walsh been since 03? Where was he in September? Why come out now and not 5 years ago? Believe me, this is the last thing I want to be talking about, but current circumstances warrant it, don't you? I want nothing more than to move from this. Who's that? Brian Morey's calling me during the show. Who knows we're doing the show?
No, because it's all about Brian Morey.
You want to take that, Fred?
That's in a nutshell, right?
Believe
there.
Me, this is the last thing I want to be talking about, but the current circumstances warrant it, don't you? I want nothing more than to move from this and talk about the draft. Thanks, as always, for your great work. Well, we're going to have to get into this thing.
Well, and that's thanks for lunch.
That was the
thank you very much for lunch, but that is the big story.
That was
right
the
now.
Big story that came out Sunday night, technically. Mike Reese got an exclusive with Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli. And finally, they felt that the time was right to come out. And I think, really, they're forced to, because this thing isn't going away. I mean, during the season, you could say, well, you know what? If we just not even mention Matt Walsh and just ignore it, maybe it'll go away on its own. But this is not going away. There's a class action suit that's filed. And as ridiculous as it is, they're real. I mean, you can sue anyone for anything. And it's a real lawsuit that's been filed. So that plus, you know, Spectre, this stuff isn't going away. So Bill Belichick decided, I got to say something at this point.
But forced by who?
What do you mean forced?
Because let's be honest, he doesn't get forced into things.
No, I think he is forced.
By what? By who?
By this lawsuit, by Spectre, a senator.
But if you're sued, that's kind of where I'm getting to, because I don't
they
think Bill, a lawsuit, I don't think media, I don't think all these people talking, PT, I don't think he gives a rat's butt about all that.
I think you're right. I think the Kraft's.
Well, that's what
this
I was
This
at.
Is hurting business. Yeah. This is attacking the business right now. As much as, you know, it might be just about winning football games for Bill Belichick, the higher responsibility here is the organization. And this is starting to hurt business.
Okay, that's where I was going with that.
I mean, see, and listen, this has been since the Super Bowl, and how long has it been? Three. This is the third week now.
Yeah,
that we've been back.
I know you've
lost track. But a reasonably significant period of time has now passed since that, you know, the Matt Walsh part of this, you know, had come out. So you would presume that since we've been back, that these kinds of things have been discussed and talked about. I just thought it was a little odd. And look, I don't. The forum was fine. I think Mike Reese did a good job of getting the story and asking some questions. But I just thought that some of the answers to me were kind of strange.
And that's what Christian said.
For having to go by, had a couple of weeks to kind of form. Now, if you get hit, you know, off the go, right off the cuff, and it's new and you don't really have time to prepare, you can say something that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense. But when you have time to figure out and formulate a plan of attack or a plan of defense, more accurately in this case, I would have thought that some of the excuses, for lack of a better term, would have been better than what I thought that Belichick and Pioli offered.
Well, I mean, that's a different question. But as far as the timing, I think, again, I go back to them. This isn't going away.
Right.
Spector's not going away. Goodell's not helping the situation at all. You know, he comes out and says, yeah, they've been doing this since 2000. That just raised more questions. Obviously, if you really think about it, it made sense, because if they thought it was okay in 06, obviously it was okay in 2000. So it made sense that they're taping since 2000.
And you brought that up, and I said that last week, Fred, on one of the shows that you weren't on. We all knew that
right.
It was, but I just, and I said it to you off the air, I thought it was really strange that Goodell just kind of offered
that
up. Like,
so that's
they've
helping.
Been doing it since 2000. I don't think that was common knowledge.
The class action
I don't
suit.
Either, Paul. And let me ask you something, Fred.
Yeah.
The reason I thought that was interesting that he said they've been doing it since 2000, am I supposed to believe the only tapes the Patriots had were from 2006 in the preseason they've been doing it since 2000?
No, but I'll bet you that, yeah, they do this, they catalog it, and then they probably use the tape again or tape over it or whatever.
That was what Goodell was going with, because he referenced there were a lot of notes going back further.
Right. I'll bet you the notes start take over, but once you have it cataloged, you don't need to keep the tape.
Fred, you mentioned that it's starting to now hurt business. The thing I wonder now is, you know, last offseason, they went on that huge spending spree. They made a bunch of trades. A lot of players wanted to come here. I want to see if this actually hurts business this offseason when it comes to signing free agents, making trades. Do players really want to come here now?
My guess is that it won't, because, you know, these guys, they talk to the coaches. They talk amongst each other. To them, except for the people saying it's tarnishing the record,
even those people would probably want to play. I think
Well, the one issue is if you think there's any chance you're coming to play for Belichick and Belichick won't be here.
Well,
it's like a college recruit.
But that's a different
argument.
Think
the guy you're coming. Because Belichick is the
reason.
As much as we say Brady Belichick, if they lose Belichick, they're not the same. They're not the surefire, I can go there with a chance to win a title if they lose him. So there's a chance. I mean, whatever it is, 1%. But there's a thought out there that if Walsh comes out, now his attorney says he has tapes, that Belichick could get suspended or get in big trouble. So if you're coming here and you're considering your future, that has to at least seep in 1%.
No, I agree with you. I think that that's a legitimate concern. I'm talking in terms of assuming that he's here. I think players are still going to want to be here, and I don't think this is a deterrent at all for a player. I think they look at it from the opposite perspective as, I don't care about any of that crap. I just want a chance to win.
They're all desperate anyway. Let's be honest. Zach Thomas is desperate to win a Super Bowl. Junior Seau's desperate to win a Super Bowl. I don't care if it's at the tail end of this tarnished era. It's a Super Bowl. I get that ring on my finger.
Fred, can I ask you a question? This Matt Walsh stuff came out 3 weeks ago, right? What's going on? I mean, what has he got? You know what I mean? How long is this going to take? Either show us what you got or go away.
He has nothing that we already don't know about. I mean, the tapes that he's talking about, I guarantee, are from the end zone or from the 50-yard line, where he tapes the sideline, shows the scoreboard. Tapes the sideline, shows the scoreboard.
So you don't think he has any tape of anything else?
Why can't we just see it? Like, what's the league doing? Why?
Because first of all, he shouldn't have.
So if we
but my point is, why can't the league say, all right, let's get this done. I want to know what you have. Let's do this now. Get this out, because it's got to be hurting the league, right? Having this prolonged. Like, well, let's get it done.
Well,
let's find out.
The thing is, they don't want him coming on there, and without evidence, you know, without stuff that he can prove, making claims.
Well, then if he doesn't have the evidence, that's a pretty big dent in his claim, isn't it?
I know, but the thing is, he can say whatever he wants. And that's what the league is saying. It's like, unless you've got evidence, don't start making these claims or we're going to sue you. And that's what his lawyer wants protection of. They don't want, you know, the league saying as long as you tell the truth, we're not, you know, there won't be anything that can happen to you.
But I think that's
define the truth.
That's a slippery. I mean, he could come out and say Bill Belichick has won 3 Super Bowls, and someone could say, no, he really didn't because he cheated on Rams one.
Yeah, but that's
and all of a sudden he's deemed a liar.
Right. It could be anything.
I know, but that's an extreme example.
Right. Once you start getting into lawyer talk. And
but he could say, for example, let's just say he did tape the Rams walkthrough in 02, you know, before the Super Bowl. You know, he could say, here's the tape of it, and I was told to do it by, you know, whoever, Scott Pioli, Bill Belichick, when in fact maybe he wasn't. He just did it on his own with his own camcorder. Who knows?
Now, let me ask you this.
But how do you prove that, you know?
No, I understand your point, and they're trying to avoid that situation. But whether he was authorized to do it or ordered to do it or not, wouldn't it matter more if someone actually watched it?
That's right.
You know, if the Patriots are claiming they have no knowledge of this whatsoever.
That's right.
And they reiterated that in the piece with Mike on Monday. So they're kind of washing their hands of the whole thing. No, we've never ordered a videotape of a walkthrough. We've never watched that. We've never done it. Belichick said he's never heard of it even being done.
That's right.
Throughout his coaching career.
So he's on record. That was a very strong statement.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It was unequivocal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are they afraid of, then, if that's the case?
They're afraid of what he might say.
But why, if it's not true?
Because then you get into this whole he said, he said thing.
And you don't know for sure what he has,
what he can prove. But if Matt Walsh doesn't have proof, I don't care what he says because I don't believe him.
Well, he's saying,
you know what
he
I mean?
Does.
I
but what if he,
proof.
His attorney is saying he Well, does. What if he comes out and then all of a sudden a couple of weeks later there's a couple players that say, yeah, I agree
then
with
then
Matt
if
Walsh.
I'm the league, I want that out. Like either way, I want this done if I'm
no, I think
But I think
no
that's
doubt.
Why
sure.
it's murky.
And
Matt Walsh doesn't know what he's going to get
I'm not sure if you want
by.
It out if you're the league.
Yeah, but Goodell has said there's no one that wants to talk
but
to this guy more than us.
But
I'm not sure I believe
behind closed doors, maybe.
But at this point, I don't think there's anything you can do about it. You know, I understand before us thinking, well, the league wants to kind of – but at this point, I think it's coming out one way or the other.
I want this son of a bitch out there.
Yeah, watch the language there, Hi-Ho. Andy's theory on why the NFL might not want it out there I think is plausible. I'll let you explain it.
What's my theory?
Well, no,
just
I
about
agree
all,
with you.
You know,
the slippery slope.
Right. What happens if Belichick then says, you know what?
I did this for all three. I learned it from Parcells.
He learned it from Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden you got – you know, 12 of the last 15 Super Bowls are tarnished.
That's why the league.
But here's
want.
The thing about it, and you know, again, we go back to, you know, the rule that Bill Belichick said that he misinterpreted. You know, I've read that rule as it was written up to 06, and there is a different way to interpret it.
But there's
as long,
two different issues.
Hold on for a second. Let me finish. You know, if you just take
all worked up today, son of a bitches. Let me finish.
I'm glad he's back.
If you just take the rule in the Management Council book, written as it is. It clearly does say for use during the game. Okay, so there's the gray area. However, the Ray Anderson, because everybody was misinterpreting it, Ray Anderson felt he needed to send a memo, not just to the Patriots, but to the whole league, clarifying that rule, which was pretty clear. But up to that point, and I think it was the end of 06 that he sent it, off-season 06, after the 06 season.
I'm pretty sure.
They sent it.
Didn't they send it before 07?
Maybe.
It was before 07.
Right. It was definitely one
just,
before
just
06,
before
from what I've read.
Oh, okay.
I don't know for a fact
I'm not
from
sure.
what I've read.
Anyway, they felt the need, because of the original wording of that rule, that they needed to send a memo. That tells you right there that the rule was kind of vague.
But I don't even
I've come
care
full
about
circle.
That.
I actually believe Bill. I believe Bill that he
I have no problem with his,
or
yeah.
maybe not misinterpreted, but chose to see the rule in a way that benefited him.
Right.
And I believe him on that, but this
I think
is
he
a
knows exactly
issue.
What the rule meant, and
which
he took
is a
advantage
separate
of
issue.
It.
The Spygate
oh,
2.
Oh, that's why they call it Spygate
right.
2.
Right.
Oh,
they're
separate
two
issue.
Very yes. different.
It's apples and oranges.
One
issue.
Is
nothing.
Super gamesmanship,
right.
And one is downright, you're in trouble, cheating, game, like,
right.
bad.
They got punished as severely as you could possibly expect them to get punished for the first thing. They lost the first round pick. They were fined $750,000. I don't think anybody thinks that wasn't sufficient, certainly not anybody with a level head, based on what they did. Now, the Matt Walsh thing is a totally separate
entity.
Totally
different level.
And that's why I think Tom is right. If he's got something, let's see it. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut, sit in Hawaii, and be a golf pro. We don't want to hear from you anymore.
But the issue is, and I think this is a very interesting time, because I think these two stories parallel each other remarkably.
And that's checking in.
Roger Clemens, Brian McNamee, and Bill Belichick, Matt Walsh. Brian McNamee comes out, but you know what? Roger Clemens says, you can't prove it. And you know what? He probably can't. Because everything I hear, he's got syringes that may have Roger Clemens' DNA, blood, and steroids on it. Well, chain of command and who had possession of those. They can't prove anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing about like that.
That's totally inadmissible.
And you know what he gets? He goes to Congress, and he gets some turkey from Ohio ripping him, saying, so you're a liar. That's what we've learned here. Why do we believe you're...
But this, I'm glad you brought
it's
up
the
McNamee
same story.
Because his immunity that he was given was also basically the same deal. As long as you tell the truth and the whole truth, you won't go to jail.
Right.
Now, if McNamee had said stuff that, if he had said Andy Pettit did it, Chuck Knobloch did it, Roger Clemens did it, Debbie Clemens did it, and all of those people denied it, he might be in trouble.
That's why if I'm but Matt Walsh, I keep my mouth shut, because I might not have Andy Pettit backing
me up. Exactly. And that's what the league's telling him.
Unless and I would have had no problem with that had he kept his mouth shut. He's chosen to open his mouth.
Yeah, that's
and now he's slammed
on
the brakes.
We know people have been calling him forever. A lot of people.
Right. So
a lot of different organizations.
We've
and
heard,
he couldn't help himself.
We've heard a lot of different people talk about this long before we even knew exactly why. Right?
Right.
Now all of a sudden he slams on the brakes before, you know, after he starts talking about it. I don't
understand
that.
Yeah, because it's big news and he could go to jail.
Well, and he should have thought about that. And I assume that's why he kept his mouth shut since 2001.
Because I think like his resume, which by the way, you guys see, and like his wedding announcement, the guy likes to fabricate stuff.
Where are those?
His wedding announcement
was just flat out wrong.
But not wrong
in his favor. It was wrong against him. It said that he didn't work here in 2002 when he did.
No, but it was fabricated.
Why would that be in a wedding announcement?
It had like something about, you know, work for the Patriots. And
oh, like your local paper?
Yeah.
Area scout / game planning? Come on.
Well, but I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know what he did in the scouting department.
He didn't game plan, okay?
But I don't know what he did.
Just so you know, Josh McDaniels, when he started here, was a scouting assistant / coaching assistant.
Okay.
And he was the point man on game planning. It started with him breaking down the opponent and every formation, every play. So if
Josh McDaniels is now the offensive coordinator, that makes sense.
But he was the lowest of low back then. And if Matt Walsh was in the same job, then he technically would be doing some game planning.
Well, I doubt it.
It's
you may doubt it.
It's semantics.
But it's possible.
Semantics.
Yeah, and he also trained with the U.S. bobsled. He played professional hockey.
That's the one I love, the bobsled. I heard that.
I mean, this kid, this guy's like...
Did he not do any of that?
You talk about
gone with
Chris
the Jamaican,
Ferreira having a second life. Yeah. This guy did more than...
But did he not do any of that?
Did we hire him as a webmaster?
I'll bet you, you know, what he did and what he says he did, there's a lot of stretching going on.
And join the list of resumes across the world. You ever hear of those people? They get in trouble later.
I know,
on. They run organizations.
Brett
has one in his file.
The one thing that I kind of took offense to, though, in his defense, and I don't know him very well. You knew him better than I did, Fred,
because
he worked in
Fred
in,
couldn't
in
pick
PR.
Him out of a lineup. If you put him,
no, I know Bill couldn't pick him out of a lineup, even though he could pick the four of us out of a lineup, and he had dealings with this guy every day. Anyway,
wow, the venom there.
They were talking about
couldn't pick me out.
They were talking about that wedding announcement thing on the radio, Fred, with Dale and Holly.
Yeah,
and they were saying that
he
didn't even work for the Patriots at the time that he said he did. Because he did the taping in January of 2002, and his wedding announcement said he didn't even work there then. Well, I mean, are we really going to take a wedding announcement in some local paper? Because I know they always get they're Woodward and Bernstein working for
the wedding announcement.
Newport Times.
That was fresh off him being fired for taping conversations, so we probably wanted to downplay that.
But my point is, does anybody believe that he wasn't working here at the time that he said he taped this?
No, we know he was.
We know for a fact he was. But if you listen to talk radio, well, you know, look at his wedding announcement. It says he wasn't even.
And
that's just offensive.
But that's
to have someone try to make you believe that.
Once you put yourself out there, that's what you're like. Brian McNamee, again, back to him. That whole incident in Tampa, where they start digging and finding anything
and
that
I think
can be found.
I think that's fair game. But my point is, he obviously worked here when he said he taped the thing of the Rams.
But if they,
I don't think any normal-minded man of any reasonable intelligence actually believes he was freelancing when he taped this thing.
If you want to call him a liar,
just gave it to the Patriots. There's a lot of other things.
Well, but that's what they do. They cloud the whole situation. They try to lay a track record of lying.
I'm making fun of him more about his embellishment of what he did both here and other places. You know, because
you never did that.
The guy would have to be 50 years old to have done all the things he said.
You're quite a self-promoter. You never fluffed up the resume a little?
I don't need to.
I didn't say you need to now. Did you ever in the past when you pretended to be Jewish?
There's a way to fluff it up that's still truthful. And
right.
Then there's, you know,
I agree.
Yeah.
That's kind of like
but
that's
see,
kind
to
of
me,
an art.
To me, saying that you're an area scout / game planner is fluffing up your resume
right.
In a way that's kind of still truthful.
I mean, next year
I know
tell
semantics.
Me that
I know
he
semantics.
Up his
wise,
tax return a little bit, five extra bucks
Fred,
on. This
if you
thing.
Want to get to semantics of it, I know he wasn't game planning. I know he's not sitting there with Bill Belichick saying, "You know what? We really should target Patrick Surtain here. I think he's the weak link in the Dolphins secondary."
Because Bill
I know
would
he
say,
wasn't
"Who the hell
doing,
are you?"
I know he wasn't
know
doing that.
Excel.
but my point is, if he is charting those plays and all the formations and stuff, can't that you know for the other team? Can't that be considered a form of game planning?
Right. It could be.
He's providing information for the people who are putting the game plan together.
I mean, we do a scouting report in PFW. You could put that you were game planning, for crying out loud.
I call myself a draft expert.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, I think everybody – there's an element of that kind of embellishment in everybody's resume.
Why do you think he was taping conversations with Scott Pioli?
I have no idea. Well, according to their side, it's a fabrication, so.
Right. But assuming it's true.
Then
I mean,
he's nuts. I think he's flat out nuts if that's
true. I think the guy is nuts.
I mean,
let's just say Scott Pioli had to go – let's just say Scott Pioli had to testify about that. He mentioned that there were two other employees that knew about it. So they would have to testify, too, to back up what Pioli said.
I just find it awfully hard to believe that they fired a guy and didn't tell him that's why they fired him.
Well, no, you don't get into it. You just get rid of the guy. You don't want the confrontation. I mean,
if you fire me, I can't ask you why?
Yeah, you're supposed to know why you're being fired.
No, you...
I wouldn't let Tom anywhere near you if you fired him.
Massachusetts is an at-will state, okay? You could be fired for any reason. You do not
have to. You can be fired for any reason, but you have to know what the reason is.
No, you do not. Exactly, but you can say, hey, we're just laying you, we're going a different direction. You know, that's...
So that was the reason?
I don't know. I don't know.
I just find it, that's all I'm saying. I look, this guy seems whacked to me. It's not implausible to me that he was secretly taping conversations.
But
that to me,
see,
I read that and I didn't even raise an eyebrow. But the part where he said that we fired him and we never even told him that, that did raise an eyebrow.
No, it doesn't for me because I know as a manager.
To me, I know that they thought he was going to come out and immediately say they didn't do that.
No, but Paul, if you had done that to me, okay, you were taping conversations, let's say, I would want to get rid of you. But I wouldn't tell you that because now you say, no, I didn't do it. Now it's an unwarranted termination because the reason I gave
you. So instead, no reason is a better reason?
No, it's just say we're going in a different direction. I have the right to say that. But if I say that you did
something, I don't know the laws.
I
mean, I've never been.
I'm telling you, you open up a can of worms. If you get it, give him a specific reason that he can argue.
I'm not going to argue. I don't know. And I'm not an employer, so I don't know the reasons that you can and can't. I just thought that was strange.
It's best to just get him out.
It was pretty obvious. They knew that he would immediately come out and say, that's the first I've ever heard of that. I don't know what they're talking about. And now they say, well, because we never told him. That's why we fired him. That's why, you know, I
think he's crazy
strange.
Like a fox. I think that's another comparison to the McNamee thing. I think that guy's nuts as can be, sleazy as can be, but did some things along the way to make sure he covered his own butt.
What's the old thing? Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get me.
Right. Yeah. But I think these guys, in the end, it's kind of come to fruition. McNamee's saving needles in a can for 7 years. This guy's taping conversations.
As an aside, that was my question.
What was that guy doing
saving needles?
Because he knew if Clemens went down, he would be kicking McNamee to the curb.
Listen, knowing what you know about Clemens now.
Would you
now,
trust Tom if you were in a situation like that?
You know what you know about Clemens now. Watch what he's doing.
I think you could have stopped it. Would you trust Tom?
Yeah. I'd have thrown you under the bus before you could get that sentence out.
See, the more days go by since we found out about that syringe thing with McNamee, the better he looks for having kept them.
Right.
Because the way Clemens has handled this...
Unless you're a Republican.
The way Clemens has handled this in the congressional hearings tells me that he had some foresight and knew that this was... You know, so someday he's going to make me the fall guy for this, and he knew it.
The guy had been around the block.
And that's what he did. Now, is he shady? Absolutely.
Yeah, they all are.
Well, absolutely. You have to be shady to think that way. You know, Andy Pettitte, though, I mean, a lot of people are giving him a lot of credit for being truthful. Well, you know, he was breaking the law, too, or breaking the rules, too. But, you know, the fact now that he says, my relationship with Roger is strained, we haven't talked in a long time, tells me all I really need to know.
Yeah.
He's telling the truth. There's no doubt in my mind he's telling the truth.
Why would he lie about doing the wrong thing?
Right. No, I mean, there's no doubt. But I still get by with Clemens is saying, you can't prove it. It can't be proven. Everybody can hate me all this, but nobody can prove it.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. You have to prove it. You can't just believe it.
I know. And I think Clemens is one of those guys that he believes his own lies. I think if he took a poly, he'd pass. He's so convinced.
I think Clemens is definitely one of those guys. He believes it. He's got himself convinced that he's
right. How can you be that way? How can you live with yourself, though, knowing, deep down, knowing that you did something
you're
wrong?
You're psychotic.
And you're going out and saying to people, well, you can't prove that I did it, which is basically saying, I did it, but you can't prove it.
People lie all the time.
Look at O.J. Simpson. How can you live with that?
Right. That's my
question.
You
have to be deranged.
Well, I would have a much easier time living with myself if I was Clemens than I was O.J. Simpson.
All I did was take a couple of drugs.
I took steroids instead. I didn't do it.
If someone, O.J. Simpson, can live with what he did,
right?
You know, it's understandable how someone could convince himself that they're in the right.
But that's my question is, and I'm not trying to say that they're guilty, like I think Clemens is guilty, but from a Patriots strategic perspective, can you just deny it and say it can't be proven? If Matt Walsh taped it, I didn't tell him to tape it. You can't prove I watched it. You can't. All of this, it can't be proven.
See, I agree with all. I agree with all of that, and that's why if Matt Walsh had never come out and we never found out who Matt Walsh was, I would have understood that. Now, obviously, we wouldn't have known about it.
Right.
But I would have understood if he had just kept that to himself forever because he didn't want to open that can of worms and put himself in the crosshairs.
You want to
now
try to bring down the Patriots? Bring it on, Mike.
Right. No, you're right.
Let's go.
Fred, you're absolutely
right. Come
on. I couldn't agree with you more, Fred.
Otherwise, shut up.
Do you agree that if there's a Rams Super Bowl tape, let's just assume.
Yes.
Do you agree the defense of I didn't tell him to do that? Do you think that's a good defense? Because I think that's a terrible defense.
But do you have to prove it?
Who's got the tape? He does, right?
Yeah, I just think it's a terrible.
But if he hands it to Goodell,
What if they didn't tell him to tape it?
It's the appearance of impropriety.
I don't know, but
I just find it hard to believe that a scout that works for the Patriots,
he was in the video department,
did something like that.
Yeah, but here's a guy who's very ambitious. He wants to be the guy that helps them win the Super Bowl and looks at it as an opportunity to be the hero.
Yeah, that's why I don't care if they told him to. If you watched it, you received stolen goods, you did whatever. You're now guilty.
I think your little scenario you just unfolded,
that's probably how it happened.
That's highly probable. An ambitious kid that says, this is how I can get myself known.
He's clearly a manipulator, go-getter, whatever the confluence of good and bad creativity and intelligence.
He worked in PR. He worked in the video department. He worked in scouting.
I worked in PR and ended up here.
Moving around.
Well, he was clearly looking for
things. I agree. I was going to say, the moral of this story is just accept mediocrity like we have. Don't try to be a go-getter. That's
Congress is not knocking on my door. I got a pretty good life for myself. No one's bugging me.
The point is, though, you have that stigma now. And the stigma is always attached to that name. Anytime you hear the name Patriots or Belichick right now, That's what you're associating.
And that's why I say this is hurting business.
Right.
That's why the Patriots had to do something at this point. You got to squash this. You've got to.
But they can't. But my point, Fred, is they can't just say, oh, you can't prove it.
Right.
They have to go out and actually disprove it.
Well, I think this
and
is
that's
step
why Matt
one.
Walsh.
Step one was this.
But that's why Matt Walsh wants unlimited protection, because you saying that they're hurting business. And if he says something that it may be true, but he can't prove it. When he gets slapped with a $200 million lawsuit for hurting Patriots business, merchandise sales fell 7%, this fell 7%, he can't afford to protect. You know what I mean? That's what he's looking for protection from.
Well, you know what?
That's true. Merchandise sales is Flanders' fault.
But that's the problem, Andy. You know, and then anyone can go out and say anything about any company that they don't like for whatever reason. You got to have proof because we're talking about billions of dollars.
But isn't there, I agree with
you. Doesn't there have to be proof on both sides? He has to prove it's true, but wouldn't the Patriots have to prove it's not true? Prove it's not true?
Well, in a court of law, absolutely. But
that's what I mean, a lawsuit. If it got to a lawsuit level where there's, because that's what he, if you take him on his word, that's what he's fearful of.
Right.
Ridiculous legal fees, $100 million lawsuits. If he gets sued, then they have to prove it's not true,
just like he has to prove it's true. The burden of proof is always on the prosecution.
Right.
But isn't he safe then?
No,
wait a minute. That's when the crime has been committed and there's evidence of a crime. Okay?
Boy, we have no idea
what
we're talking
about. If
there's
a dead body there, we know something happened. Okay? But if there's nothing, if it's all smoke, if it's just people saying that other people did things without corroboration or evidence, it's a frivolous lawsuit. There's nothing to back it up. You know, we don't even know if a crime's been committed, or a broken rule in this point. Somebody just said there was. All right? That's why having a tape is huge. Okay? But if he doesn't have a tape of that walkthrough, anyone can say anything. You know, you said the burden is always on the prosecution. But there's a crime. A crime happened. Mm-hmm. We know that. That's a fact.
But
now we just need to know who did it, mm-hmm. why, and where.
If
and
he
when.
Doesn't have a tape of the walkthrough, shouldn't we all just kick the living crap out of him?
Absolutely.
Because if
for
you
annoying
don't have,
us,
if you don't have a tape of the walkthrough, then why are you even out?
Right.
Like,
no.
What good are you?
That's
you
what know? I'm right. saying. Let's bring him over here and let's all take our shots at him. Because this is what he deserves.
Well, yeah, I
don't
just
think that's okay.
I just want to make sure that you are on board with that idea that they need to prove that it's not true. They can't just come out and say, "Oh, you can't prove it."
Well,
like Clemens
Eric.
Is,
well,
Clemens is
okay.
just saying, "Oh, you
let's
can't
just
prove
say,
it."
Eric, you know, after what they just said to Mike Reese Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
let's just say at this point, Matt Walsh says, "You know what? I'm done with this. Leave me alone. I'm never going to talk anymore. You know, go away. That's it. It's done." I would think at this point, then the public opinion would go with the Patriots, like, okay, they said they didn't do it. They didn't do
if
it.
If he backs down
if
and goes away.
If he backs down at this point,
oh,
that
yeah. would probably be
yes.
proof that he doesn't really have
right.
a leg to stand on.
Now, if, right. but if he doesn't.
But if he doesn't, then the Patriots have to go all out to disprove
sure.
it if it's not true.
Well, but if he doesn't, then he better have something.
And if he has the tape, see, here's the problem I think you get into with the Patriots. If he has the tape and they really did cheat, sooner or later, someone else is going to step forward that
well, that's,
knows about
that's
it.
Enough, that's a good point.
And that would be the Andy Pettit of this story.
That's
where,
a good
where
point.
Someone comes in. Because I don't know if Matt Walsh himself can do the, bring down the Patriots, but if a coach or someone steps up, then you got a big problem.
Well, there's two things there. One, we all know that in this video department, a lot of people have come and gone. He's not the only person that's come and now gone.
Right.
So you would think maybe somebody else would step up by now. They haven't. The other thing is, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, wait a minute, well, though. We don't know who knows what.
No, and
right?
And
I mean, there's a chance that three people were involved, two people were involved, one person, you know.
Well, the good thing about, you know, a lot of people criticize the media. You know, the media makes a big deal about things, and they're always the problem. The good thing about the media is, in today's world, usually the truth eventually
yeah.
comes out. There's somebody that's willing to, you know. So with the
but it might not in this case, like you just
well,
said.
Well, maybe
he
there
might
isn't
just,
anything to this. That's
I agree.
Why.
Or maybe Matt Walsh goes, whoa. We're going down a road. I don't want to go down. I'm going away.
I mean,
there's a chance he goes away for, there's two reasons. It's too much hassle, and he says, what do I get out of this besides, you know, telling the truth? Who gives a rat's butt? I live in Hawaii, and I teach golf. I mean, it's okay for me right now. Then there's the other side that he goes away because somebody shoots him. That was Gary, but he goes away because he doesn't have proof. I mean, just because he goes away, to me, doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't have proof.
No.
It could also mean he realized he was in 7 miles over his head.
Right.
And he had more to lose than to gain.
It could be that, but I don't care as long as he
think
goes
he's
away.
I have a surfing accident.
Yeah.
As long as
takes
he goes
a driver
away.
Off the forehead. Ooh,
now,
it slipped.
The other part of this.
My arm.
Now, here's the thing. If he goes away,
oh, my arm.
So does the
it's
class
broken.
Action suit. Because that's their only witness.
Right.
Unless somebody else steps forward and says, yeah.
Can you
kind
of explain that to me, Fred? Because I kind of didn't feel like getting into it this weekend. A former safety for the Rams.
And a ticket broker.
Are suing the Patriots.
You create a class action suit. And basically this is a suit that affects more than one person or defendant or whatever you want to call it. And, like, for example, if you went to that Super Bowl right now, mm-hmm. you could read the class action suit. It's public material. And you could say, oh, I'm going to put my name to that. And then if they were successful, you would get the money back that you spent on that Super Bowl.
Oh, that's all you get?
Yeah.
Because I asked Dieter, I go, didn't you go to that Super Bowl?
But
I was like, I think I'd get in trouble if we added your name to the list.
It adds up because when you know, it's $400
Wait
times.
Wait a minute, though. It's $100 million.
Yeah, it's 400 times as many people that were there. Plus, I'm sure there's other things
that they
add to it.
Wait a minute. 000. There was only 68,000 people there. 68,000 times.
That's 29 million right there.
So where's the other 71
I don't know.
Million?
They probably, you know, people's
mental damage.
Well, it's probably, you know, airline fees, hotels, restaurants, anything that you spend.
Yeah, you're right. Dieter should stay out.
Yeah, players' career.
That's one of those things they say. We give
they
you
said
50,000.
The guy said, you know, our careers would have been different. So he's taking in salary.
Oh, I see those people. Yeah, I think the Rams organization has a huge claim.
Sure.
I
mean, yeah.
I got to imagine that if you
win
a Super Bowl,
the Rams haven't signed on to that.
No, I know, and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those where. you're part of the league. You're suing the
league.
But
anyway, with the class action suit, though, the only person
Al Davis would have gotten involved.
The only person right now in the world who is saying the Patriots did what they, you know, Matt Walsh says they did is Matt Walsh. So if Matt Walsh goes away, the class action suit has no merit. It gets thrown out of court.
Which is why I'd worry about him going away, quote unquote,
if you know what
then
I mean.
Then all that's left is
shark. I don't know what to
say. So either this guy, Walsh, really has something.
This Walsh guy.
No. Either he really has something.
Or he's in way over his head.
Or because he waited all this time to come out with this. This happened in the 2001 Super Bowl, so January
right,
of 02.
Right.
He waited till January of 08 to come out with it.
I think the deal with him is that he told people about this years ago, and I think it got dredged up
after Spygate.
You know, after Spygate, and people went to him.
Right.
He didn't call people.
People has no idea.
He was expecting a call. But he didn't go out and say, oh, I know some stuff.
I agree. Because people knew.
You're absolutely right. Because people were telling us. Right.
People knew. But then once
people
there's a videotaping controversy.
Hey, remember, wasn't there that guy that was saying in 01 or 02 that he did this? Let's go find him.
But my point is he was telling people on the sneak back then.
Right.
So he kind of was – he kind of felt like on the sly. What did I say?
Sneak.
On the sly.
On the down low.
Yeah. He was
Mr.
telling
Huge
people back
Vocabulary
then, means,
screwed up two shows in a row now.
Which means he was kind of trying to get that
the
out there.
Well, no. He wanted to – I think he was telling to make himself a hero. But then when the Spygate –
But then he dropped it.
But then when Spygate 1 happened, it got resurfaced. Hey, that's not all they do. Remember that guy that said he did this?
Right.
Okay, I can see him doing that, though, after the Super Bowl. Like, if Fred had me do something, like, to get...
You want your little piece of the fame.
Hey, I'm sure that's why he was doing it.
It wasn't something that he thought 8 years later was going to get dredged up when they got... You know what I mean? So
it's like
first,
when we have a cover. Smith and Les and I was saying, I really told Fred, but he's taking credit.
Yeah.
When he comes out with Bad Kitty, all Fred.
Right. Success has many fathers, and failure is an orphan. Right?
That's very
okay.
Good.
Yeah. Now I have one more question. One more question slash comparison.
I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club.
Comparison to the Clemens-McNamee thing. McNamee, remember Clemens did the phone call thing? And McNamee admitted that brought it to the next level. He wasn't going to give those syringes out.
Right.
Well, is there any chance this little hardball tactic from Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli, and by hardball I mean the Pioli comments about he was fired because he was taping conversations,
right,
works against them and all of a sudden fuels Walsh and says, you know what, screw those.
No.
I'm coming out and
because
I'm bringing them down.
I think they realize that it's, you know, you could be right, but I think that they're betting on the fact that if he had something, he'd be out with it right now. We're going to force his hand because now if he doesn't do anything, we know he's lying.
Yeah, but now if he does, you might be in trouble. Now you're the liar.
Yeah, I mean, if they have stuff that, but
I mean, that was a big spin in the whole Clemens thing.
If you're Bill Belichick and you know for a fact that you never told this guy to do anything like that.
Well, but now that's the different argument. Telling him versus he did it and I watched it.
Okay, but
there's two different.
He said uncategorically that I never saw anything. I've never watched anybody's watch. He said it categorically.
Yeah, and Roger Clemens says categorically.
Well, can
I
ask
I
you
never
a question, Fred?
I mean,
one thing that he said that I just, as soon as I heard it, I just didn't get. He's telling me on a scale from 1 to 10.
1 to 100.
1 to 100. Taping things is a 1. I don't believe it for a second.
No, here's what he said. He said taping, you know, defensive signals are a 1. However, there's 100 things that you tape. You add them all up, and it becomes a big thing. But you take any one piece away, it's not a big deal. But when you add them all up, if you do all those things and you piece them together, yeah, it is. It does mean something. Finding out that a guy moves his foot a certain way in a long yarded situation, that means something. If you didn't have that info and that was the only thing you didn't have, it would be a 1. But when you add them all up, it makes sense to do this stuff. I don't buy the thing. It doesn't mean anything. Because why do it if it doesn't mean anything? But when you add all these things up and you put the pieces together like a puzzle, it does add up to a lot.
But I think that he is intentionally trying to downplay the importance that he's placing on it. I think that I had the same reaction that Tom did when I read that particular part. So, in other words, you thought it was worth it to put yourself at jeopardy like this for one hundredth of an advantage.
Well, if I can get all this other stuff and put it
together.
See,
but I can get all the other stuff, Fred, without breaking a rule. I can get the tendencies.
But he didn't think he was breaking a rule.
Okay, Paul.
Whatever. I'm not arguing with that. But okay. He did.
Wow. I know, but
I'm not arguing with you on that.
I know. All right.
Okay? I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm talking about something that he thought was so minor, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. And then when he's asked, then why do it then? He says, then why do the why study tendencies? Look at stances and stuff like that?
Exactly.
I think it's awfully naive for me to think that those things are 1/100th of the puzzle as well, a tendency for the other team.
Oh, see, I kind of agree. Because I think if you pay 12 left tackles during a season and you study their stances, I think only four of them might have a show, might give something away.
What about tendencies for a team?
No, but that's what I'm saying. I think some teams don't really have tendencies. Wow. I think some teams don't really. I think Fred's right.
I guess he's right then. Why do any of it?
If you get 60 hits out of the 100 things you try, then that comes together to give you a chance. Any one of those you may or may not get on any given week. And I think there's some that you wouldn't get because they change them or because you couldn't figure them out or whatever. But some weeks you got value out of it.
And I'll also say
the problem he said,
I mean, I understand
I've never taped my own
disagree.
Walkthrough. No wow. kidding. Nobody in their right mind would tape their own walkthrough.
What do you need?
You'd gain nothing.
You
from
don't
it.
Need to see your own game plan.
Right. It's stupid. Right. You drew up the little card that tells people what to do on that walkthrough.
Right. That's pretty dumb.
That is muddying the waters. That's going over the top.
I thought
whatever.
A lot of it was muddying the waters. But, and Andy, a little while ago, made the point when you said about, if you didn't do any of this, Roger Clemens is screaming from the mountaintops right now, telling anybody who'll listen, I never took steroids, but no one believes him. But for some reason, everybody believes Belichick. I don't know. I just wish that we knew more about this. Like
because
Tom
there
said,
was a lot of
I wish they could get
against
this guy.
Roger Clemens.
But this guy says he has evidence.
But, I know, but his best friend said I did it, and Roger told me that he did.
But my point, Fred, is this guy Matt Walsh says he has a tape, and you're going to say who authorized the tape?
I know, but Paul,
it doesn't matter what the guy shows. Well, no one's going to believe
it. It's a big difference because in McNamee's case, people have corroborated what he said. In Matt Walsh's case,
see, I didn't need anybody to corroborate anything. All I did was watch the guy get better when he was 40 than when he was 32.
I understand, but still,
that's
circumstantial. But he has his best friend now said corroborated McNamee.
And that's cool. That's what could happen if Walsh comes out with a tape.
Corroborated McNamee.
And now the relationship is strained. Michael Bishop or some random Terry Glenn.
Right.
If there's skeletons in that closet, you might not want to be calling to a stand.
If all these people denied what McNamee...
You're going to believe him?
If all these people denied what McNamee said and he didn't have hard evidence, McNamee would probably be going to jail.
Are you
going to
believe him if someone comes out? If some player comes out and says that I was in on that meeting and we watched that, you're going to believe it?
Now I'd have to start listening. Yeah.
I don't think anybody will believe it. Not around here.
But if
not
they,
around here, maybe, but what about the rest of
Gillette Stadium? The rest of the country, everybody believes Walsh right now.
I mean, cause
it's only here that people
think
believe
about
Belichick.
It, Paul. If someone did step forward against Bill Belichick or the Patriots, okay?
I think he'd be
perceived
as...
There's really
as
no money to be gained. They'd just be doing it because it's the right thing to do, right? So you'd have to listen to that. Oh, they're not doing it for money.
I agree.
Not
that's
doing
why.
It for fame.
But that's why I'm giving Matt Walsh an ear. Yeah, I'm not saying I believe
but
him.
But we've
I'm
already
him an
established
ear.
That this guy's a nutcase.
I haven't.
I have.
I haven't. What if I don't know?
He's cuckoo.
What
if cuckoo.
We've already established this guy's a nutcase.
What if it? What if in that scenario, if a former player comes forward?
Terry Glenn, he's crazy.
that's my point. And
Michael Bishop, they cut him.
Lawyer Malloy has Max DeGrom.
Okay. You could say he will say that about whoever it is. And when I say he, Fred, I'm not. I mean us. I mean New England.
Right.
It's not necessarily you individually. I think that's what we will do. We will discredit whoever the player is. People will say he's bitter
because
Brady.
He's been concussed so many times. Hit too many.
There's an argument to be made for any player.
Right.
Brady. He was mad at Belichick because he wouldn't let him get his job back.
But that's why, you better think hard and long before you start attacking a company that's a business. Because unless you if you're just going to say anything, then yeah, you're going to get sued for libel or slander. That's why you better watch it.
But they have to prove it too.
That's
what we're getting back to. That
right? Those cases are very hard to prove. But
the only person who loses them is the Boston Herald.
At the very least, though, if you're coming out, if you're coming out and making false claims against a business, it's going to disrupt your life pretty hard.
Screw him.
You better think about it before you just start making claims about a company or a person.
Are we taking emails today?
We will. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Okay, now back here. What, like, when I come in like 2 seconds early on the music and I do the intro, why does that matter?
Because he doesn't turn your mic on until he points to you.
Oh, so how do you time it? Like, you know, like exactly when in the music to have me come back on?
Yes, when Paul and Andy stop talking.
He's a professional, Fred. He does a fine job. Leave him alone.
Okay. As he spits tobacco into a bottle.
Coming out of the bump.
Ding. I'm just asking.
Man, he's got
to pot it down.
He's got to pot heck it of up. A dip in
do whatever
right
he wants
now.
To do it down.
That is a large lip there.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com.
Lose the shoulder.
Phone number is 508-543-7482. Well, we still have a lot to talk about. What else haven't we? You guys are going to the combine. Yep. Eric and Andy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You're going to be leaving. What time are you going to get there?
Oh, God. Before noon.
It doesn't start tomorrow, you know.
Doesn't start tomorrow?
It starts Thursday.
So, in other words, you guys should be going Thursday to Monday, right?
Well, we should be going Wednesday to Monday. Somehow we got up on
Wednesday night
to
Monday morning. Should be, but
I thought I got you a late afternoon flight. She didn't do that.
Yeah,
yeah,
you did,
but the combine goes till 5 on Sunday, and that's when
that means
leaving.
We have to leave.
And we fly at 5. And so we
Sundays,
have to leave.
Sundays like, linebackers, yeah. Which is kind of
and D backs.
No, not good at all.
We'll be okay, Fred. We'll be okay. We'll get her done.
They'll get by. All
right. But the issue is, we're leaving at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and have a day to kill in Indy.
Speaking of linebackers, though, Fred,
data kill
should talk about Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas, NFL Network is reporting that the Patriots did indeed offer him a contract when he was here yesterday.
But he's going to look around and see what the other offers are. Do you think that everything being equal, he comes to the Patriots?
No.
Everything being equal?
Yeah, no.
In other words, if this were last year at this time,
no,
he goes
to a
4-3 team where he can play
and
run.
The other offers he gets are about the same as the Patriots.
See, I think there's a chance that you're right, Fred. I think Andy's rationale is correct, but I think that he, all things being equal, I think that, however, with Drew Rosenhaus as his agent, all things won't be equal. He'll get more money than the Patriots will offer him somewhere else, and he'll make him sign there.
But Drew has a very good relationship with the Patriots.
Yeah, but I think he'll get more money from somebody else.
Maybe. I don't know.
Can he still play?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's...
Not according to Ted Johnson.
He's got the concussion problem.
See, that's the reason. We talked about this with Dan Morgan last week. He's not injury prone. He has a history of concussions.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference there.
Plus, as Ted Johnson pointed out, he has a history of concussions, and wasn't asked to play two-gap, bang heads with guards 70 times a game. He was running around behind people.
So I like Zach
Thomas
a lot.
You're changing defenses, and you're asking him to hit his head more.
I like Zach Thomas a lot. I can understand why the Patriots are interested in him. I think he's been a very good player for a lot of years in this league. The stat that jumped at me, he has more tackles in his career than any current member of the Hall of Fame.
Fame.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Nah. What do you mean, eh?
I don't know who does tackles down in Miami.
He's a great
player. I've seen guys have 190 tackles.
Who
I go, he has 190 tackles?
Let's just say there's five guys in the Hall of Fame that actually
have
more than someone else did tackles.
Pumping up the numbers. Harvey Green, is that his name?
Yes, and no one
else. How about he's a Hall of Fame caliber player?
I agree with that.
Thank you, Tom.
That I agree with.
And here's what, you know, up until, you know, recently, the Dolphins' strength has been their defense.
No
and
question.
He and Jason Taylor have been the when Sam Madison and Surtain were there, those were the cornerstones of those defenses for a long time.
I agree with all
totally,
that.
Totally
I'm just
agree
not
with
buying
you.
All the tackle numbers.
I just
fraudulent.
Will you shut up?
He's active. I mean,
I just think
you
that
know, we know he's always in on plays.
I think that getting another 30-something linebacker with some sketchy medical history, I don't think is the brightest thing.
No, I don't think it's the way to go.
Well, I think he's probably going to be able to step right in and play in this system, even though he hasn't, like Andy said, he's been a 4-3 linebacker his whole career for the most part. You know, some of it with Saban, I'm sure he could make some assimilation. But I just don't see. I don't think this is the best move they could make.
Well,
let's put it that way.
If he's willing,
well, they haven't made a move yet.
If he's willing to come,
I'm just saying beforehand.
If he's willing to come for probably the veteran minimum or whatever it is with incentives, I'd take him and I'd make him a third down linebacker in obvious passing situations, assuming that he tries out for me and he still has speed. If he's lost,
see, I always thought that
he's more of a sideline to sideline
run
guy.
He's a run stuffer.
I think he's a side to side linebacker. I don't think he's a north and south guy.
Side to side run stopper, though, not necessarily.
Yeah, but
I don't think
he doesn't hit holes. He strings people
but
out.
But he's also not a pass defender. He's
I don't
not
think
a third
he's
down
not a hole stuffer.
I don't think of him as a third down linebacker.
No,
let's
damn
it,
I don't either.
First one of the day, not bad.
The jokes I'm not allowed to make anymore.
But so you don't think that he'd be good in coverage as a linebacker?
I think he's a great player. So yeah, I think he would. I think he probably would do a pretty good job in anything he's asked to do. But I think if you're asking me what I think of when I think of Zach Thomas, it's what Andy said: a sideline to sideline run stuffer.
First of all, Fred, I don't know what your third down is, because if he comes here and it remains the same players, Junior Seau is on the bench faster than you could bat an eye.
Well, maybe. But that's an upgrade,
right?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it would be Thomas who would be the third down guy. I think it'd be probably Seau who would play pass coverage, because Bill's been raving about his pass coverage since he got.
Well,
and Bruschi would play inside.
Seau
would be a
third. I'm not stopping with Zach Thomas. I still need a first and second down inside linebacker.
You need a young inside.
You need a young
guy.
Well, first
guy.
Of all, you can't have all these old guys. You just can't have
that.
That's
what I'm saying. That's
what I'm
saying.
Now, maybe Belichick knows that, although he said in the story that I don't – how did he phrase today's quote? That there's no one that was on the final roster that I know for sure won't be back, I think is how he phrased it.
There's no one on the final roster that I –
basically, no one –
so he hasn't ruled out anybody.
Right. They haven't told him that they're not going to be back, that they're definitely
right.
done.
And that means they haven't decided that they're not going to offer Colvin something.
I certainly don't want all three of those guys. I mean, how many of these old –
well, that's my – you know, if Zach Thomas is here, somebody else is gone. And I'm still looking to get younger and faster and stronger.
Okay. Then I'm not necessarily sure you've improved then.
So you're just saying Thomas will be Seau. He'll start as a rotational guy.
Why not Thomas is Bruschi?
Oh, okay, Thomas is Bruschi. It's the same theory.
Okay.
Thomas is going inside.
One
of
those two guys are gone.
Okay, that's fine. I got no problem with that, because I think there's going
to
be a couple old guys out there
and
that
you have
I don't
to think
much of.
Don't you guys think that Thomas will be a better player next year?
Dan.
Than he was this year.
Adalis, you mean?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Now I'm getting all confused.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Adalis Thomas.
I would hope so in this system.
You would think so.
I would hope so, but I don't know.
I thought he came on a little bit.
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl was his best game.
Yeah.
I mean, he was terrific in that game. But I thought he played a little bit better down the stretch. I thought some of his, you know, not
$30 million better?
No, not off the charts better, but I thought he played better down the stretch, and I thought that in the Super Bowl.
So you had a Ferrari that finally got over 55. I'd like it to do 100.
I think he was their best defensive player in the Super Bowl on a defense that played pretty well that day.
They lost. They played a crappy offense.
Well, let's get to some emails. Speaking of defense, Ryan from Toronto.
Hey, Ryan. Don't we know something about Ryan?
He says, I noticed all year a similar feel to the defense where the linebackers would be almost in a position to sack the opponent's quarterback right before he would come up with a huge play for a first down. This trend was evident in many games throughout the regular season, long before the epic miracle escape by Mr. Eli. That leads me to believe that the Pats need more speed up front. Any thoughts on how the team can improve with speed rushers, either through the draft or free agent market?
Well, they won't up front, quote-unquote, if you're talking about the line, because got a heck of a lot of money invested in those guys, and they built those guys. I mean, that's the type of player they want up there to run a 3-4-2 gap.
I actually think their pass rush was pretty good.
I think it was fine, but I mean, I know that's going to be all the rage. I've already seen stories about all these other teams are going to go to try to find all these pass rushers, and well, that's not what the Patriots do. And now, you could argue the system stinks and they should blow up the system and go 4-3 and Tampa 2, whatever you want to do, but that's not what they do.
But I'm not even talking about the number of sacks. I'm talking about, I think that they get pretty quick pressure on the passer a lot. I think that their secondary is not that good. And there are guys open on it. I thought that, you know, people look at the all-out blitz on the last play of the Super Bowl, and they're wondering, you know, how could they not get there? Well, I think that when they've done that during the course of the year, and they did that throughout fourth quarters in every tight game that they played this year, more often than not, it was very successful. Now, that one play, it wasn't successful. But I think that they get a good amount of pressure on the passer, and the passer has been able to beat that pressure from time to time. That's not the pass rush's problem. That's not their fault. Now, I know that they say that. You know, Mike Vrabel always says, we got to get there quicker. You know, when we're blitzing, we got to get there. But there's got to be some help on the other side, too. And I think that with those secondary guys, and I think we're talking about Hobbs in particular, I think that the coverage has been a little lax.
And one guy who won't be pressuring the quarterback would be Terrell Suggs. They franchised him today, so that'll take him out of the.
Hey, did you guys talk about whether or not we should be 2 days or 1 day a week in the last show? Because we got a lot of emails, people saying, "Oh, you got to be 2 days."
Well, we kind of
a little bit. We were joking around.
It was about the lunch.
But we also had a slow day, didn't we? Have one of those?
Oh yeah, we had a tough day one of those days.
We may have talked about some other stuff. You
Thursday,
read about.
I think it was we had a slow day and we didn't have lunch, and then we got lunch and you know
we got off on a tangent.
Well, just so
we were just joking around.
In case anyone's interested, it is going to be Tuesday and Thursday, 12 to 2, up to and including the draft,
right?
And then we'll decide from there.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah, late June might be a tough one to go twice a week.
I wanted to bring up the Baltimore thing that Tom just talked about with Suggs, though. You guys helped me out. Last year, they let Adalis Thomas walk away.
Yep.
And wasn't that under the guise of Ozzie Newsome, I think, was quoted. And you guys might have gotten this quote at the Combine. We didn't think it was fair to AD as he hit free agency to put the franchise tag on him. Didn't they say something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
You lose a guy, and all of a sudden your philosophy changes?
Well, their thing was that they were going to sign these other guys to long-term contracts, and now they're franchising Suggs, so you have to wonder if they're going to keep him long-term.
And maybe he meant that. Maybe he meant...
I'm not saying he didn't mean it. I'm just saying...
No, but maybe he meant, I can franchise him for a single year, knowing there's no way in hell I can do it next year because I have to sign Suggs, and they both can't stay. And therefore, he's coming off a good year, whatever... It's fair to him to let him hit the free agent market now.
I just thought it was, you know, the terminology.
Being fair shouldn't play into the equation in my mind.
The terminology was a little weird, I thought. But I thought they were trying to come off as, like, we're an organization that's out for the players. I'm Ozzie Newsome, and I'm a GM, but I was a player, too. And I know what it's like when I can stare down Andy when he asks me a dumb question.
I just go, oh.
I don't know.
Nick from San Diego says, I'm sure you're going to talk about Zach Thomas. It's an okay idea. He's probably better than Bruschi or Junior, but at best, he's a one-year stopgap. Al Wilson is trying to get back into the league. Now, that's interesting. He was very productive, effective player. He's got a workout with Detroit, which is a waste of trip because they stink. But if he's really healthy, which is a big if, he'd be a nice addition. I think the same thing for Dan Morgan. Bring him in. If he's not
going to bring all these guys
if
in?
If he's not seeing bring double, him give him
come
a
on.
Workout.
Sure.
Lito Shepherd has been given permission for some ludicrous reason to seek a trade. Why would the Eagles ever let him go? I don't know. What would it take? And would Arlen Specter have a heart attack if they sent him to us, which would be worth the trade itself? I think it needs looking into. Lito Shepherd, though, the Eagles said that they're not going to trade him.
The
right?
Eagles have said they're not trading him, that that's a false report or whatever.
Now, his agent is Drew Rosenhaus. Is that right? Who's his agent? Do we know?
He's a Florida guy, not a Miami guy.
Do
but
not
he did
know
go to
that
Florida.
To be,
okay.
I don't know.
All right. Well, who's his agent? Ben?
He's a great guy to trade for. He's a very good player. He's already signed the contract.
Oh, he'd be a perfect so. Fan.
But if he's on the trading block, this is one of those Cowboy first-round picks we go into Philadelphia for him.
All right.
Because the Eagles and Cowboys remarkably trade quite a bit for two teams.
Division
teams.
Yeah, the only question is the report originally was that he wanted more money. He still has 4 years to go on a deal that's – the salaries are relatively normal at like 375, 426. So – if he is indeed on the, you'd have to give him a new contract, I would think.
Yeah,
that would be part of
what is the trade? I mean, I would think that you'd have to give up a first-round draft pick for him, wouldn't you?
I would think, but I mean.
I mean, in today's NFL, you have to consider him a top echelon corner.
He's a two-time pro.
Well,
would you trade number 7 for Lito Shepherd?
Number 7? I mean.
That's a high pick.
I like Lito Shepherd.
It's a high pick
but
for
I wouldn't
that.
Trade number 7.
I would. It
either.
Is, but what about in this draft? Is it a high pick?
I would trade
I mean,
it assuming
pick,
the
mean.
Finances. Like. If I could just acquire him and didn't have to
well,
give him a new deal,
that's the
I would
thing.
Do it in a heartbeat because I'm paying him like $3 and $4 million a year when I'm going to have to pay a rookie as much if, you know.
But I think you have more bargaining power with the 7th pick. I think you can pick up picks down, you know, maybe next year's draft. You can
I don't know.
Around.
Everybody's trying to trade out.
But you know sooner or later they'll find somebody.
I don't
but
know.
But I would rather pay Lito Shepherd what I have to pay the 7th pick.
That's my point. That, I think that
all
that
I'm
makes
saying
sense.
Is that you don't people don't trade usually 7th pick in the draft for guys like Lito Shepherd.
You know, we had an Ask PFW that was asking the same question about D'Angelo Hall.
Would you trade the
Lito,
7 for D'Angelo
I think
Hall?
Lito Shepherd is better.
And
than
I think
him.
The Falcons might because they're looking to just clean house.
And you got a connection there with Thomas Dimitroff.
I don't think that if you're the Falcons, I wouldn't think that D'Angelo Hall was part of your house cleaning, but who knows? Stranger things
well,
have happened.
He had issues with ownership.
Crumpler was part of it for some reason.
He actually had issues with the coach, and the coach was
gone. Right, but maybe they didn't like how he handled it or
could
something.
Be.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Also, Nick has some questions about draft guys. Boley, Boss from Detroit. No,
what? Boss Bailey?
I don't know. He says, what about Boley from the Atlanta, Boss from Detroit.
Those are free agents.
And Blackstock from Arizona. Oh, these are free agents. All are young pass rushers. What about Sam Williams from Oakland or Hobson from the Jets? Victor Hobson?
Victor Hobson. He's not a pass rusher.
No, he's an inside guy.
No, he played outside.
Both could use some good coaching and a change of scenery. This team needs a serious infusion of youth at linebackers.
We agree.
And also Groves from Auburn.
Groves, Quentin Groves.
Outside linebacker?
Yeah, he's supposed to be a great pass rusher, although I think he only had one sack last year. He's one of those...
hey, Seymour.
He's, but...
Yeah, but at least Seymour was a tackle. He's an outside linebacker.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. It's when I see Groves play, I just don't see him as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
All right. Jeff in Bartlett says, Dear Jake Steele in the Justice League, I heard that Pats gave Zach Thomas an offer when he was in yesterday and are hosting Marty Booker today. I totally agree with trying to bring Thomas on board if he's truly healthy, but I'm wondering why the Pats wouldn't be more interested in Algie Crumpler than Marty Booker. Isn't Ben Watson basically the only tight end at the moment, or is Kyle Brady not going to retire after all? Crumpler would jump to the top of the depth chart and be a better target for Brady than Booker would be at this point, would he not? I would think he'd get on the field more as a tight end than Booker would as a second slot receiver. Algie Crumpler is a good player.
I think Crumpler's a very good player. I would definitely be interested in that. If
I was shocked by that one.
I think a lot of people are going to be interested.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you're going to have to pay a lot more money.
He's
for
a marquee tight end.
Yeah.
I think that's going to cost you. That's not one of these guys that you can pick up at a bargain
basement.
Marty
Booker, you could pay him for the money you got in your
pocket.
But
Marty Booker also, to me, makes some sense for the Patriots if they're worried about losing Stallworth and Washington and maybe even Moss or whatever.
Daphne.
And now you're looking at a situation where you have Wes Welker and really no other proven NFL receivers. Marty Booker, I don't think is a great player, but you know, as a third or fourth guy to come in and provide some depth for you, I think that makes a little sense.
Matt Fletcher's very upset. He says this team will never win another Super Bowl. Their run is over.
Until next
it was
year.
Good while it lasted. They had the best offense in NFL history and still couldn't win against the crappy Giants. Now they want to sign more aging linebackers. Give me a break.
That guy hasn't listened to Fred's move on. Well, he has moved on, but not in the direction Fred wanted him to.
I don't think he's a real fan. I think he's just a troll.
He's a troll.
That's what they call it on the internet. Trolls.
Is that what they call it?
We are on the internet.
Fred's big with the internet lingo.
He's big with terms.
I don't know if this internet thing's going to catch on.
Why are you not talking, Eric? What's the matter?
Nothing.
Say another one.
Why are you not talking?
Yeah, Eric is here, by the way, in case anyone was wondering. You're going to have
I
gave you that Italian. You're not
I didn't know. I didn't realize.
You can't waste that food.
No, I won't. Bring it over
here. You like 6-inch Italians.
You see,
it's a sub.
Thanks, Fred.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
You see now.
You have all your little notes down here. Tom and I were very impressed.
Why do you have all this stuff?
You haven't broken out the highlighter yet. But.
These are topics we were talking about, and I figured if you forget a quote or something, I have the quote right here.
Why are you pointing at me? I never forget anything.
Okay.
All right. Do you have notes there? Anything you want to share with us?
Oh, these are just articles that are referencing the things that we're talking about today.
Oh, okay.
The Belichick-Pioli article, the Walsh and his attorney article. There's the Asante Samuel, possibly.
Do you have the story coming back from today?
Yeah.
I didn't really get the Asante Samuel possibly coming back story.
What was that in?
Nowhere in there did it say.
That was in the
I'm pretty sure it was in the Globe.
Yeah. It was, and it basically said, if they put $100 million on the table, he'll come back.
Oh, so there's no news.
He's basically saying that.
Most misleading headline, I thought.
So,
ever.
In other words, that's the kind of stuff that we need to get our blog up into the top five good ones.
Right.
Okay.
I'm still going for the number one worst.
I do, too.
I think if we work a little bit harder next year, like at the Super Bowl and things like that, we can do it.
If we update the,
if I reference Hitler in a blog,
the numbers on the roster,
well,
you know,
what well, not? I think I know what'll put it over the edge. If we can get a girl in a thong, I think we.
If
get
we sign
one.
Zach Thomas, right? He's number 54 for all these years, and obviously we still have Brewski, so there'll be a real problem there. Is what number Zach Thomas? If we can be the ones that can break that and get it on the blog, that could put
be
us the over
best
the top.
Ever.
That could put us over the top.
Although
we got something to shoot for.
All right. Shavers does admit that if Samuel makes that catch in the Super Bowl, he probably has more of a. Well, he called it
why
buzz,
in God's
more
name,
free agent buzz.
Well, why in God's name does that play have anything to do with anything?
Because you know guys like Jerry Jones would see that.
I absolutely think that would
Desmond
happen.
Desmond Howard. Do I give too much credit to these people
yes.
who are evaluating?
Yes.
I'm thinking
yes. They are rich Tom Casales.
I'm thinking if you're evaluating a player that you want to go after, this starts way before last week.
But it doesn't.
And you would think that you broke down Asante Samuel every which way you can, and you say, this guy is perfect for us. I love him. We need to go after him. Then he drops a pass in the Super Bowl, and you say, drop it down $10 million. I just don't think Daniel Snyder does that?
You know, that holding somebody, that pass makes some owners say, I'm not taking no for an answer. If he wants $100 million, we'll give him $120 million.
And
we're getting him.
They know if they bring in this guy that everyone's thinking about, you know, public opinion, it helps.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
plus,
I just find that amazing.
Well,
it
plus,
is amazing. It's stupid.
The idea of big players making big plays in big games.
Not Case.
That was a big play in a big game that
he's made
supposedly,
quite a few big plays.
Well, he has, but that's the last thing people remember.
Who's the guy from the Cowboys? Larry Brown, who stunk. Everyone knew he stunk.
Right, but the last thing they remembered,
MVP
or the last thing
the
Raiders remember, was him making the interceptions
right.
in the Super Bowl. So
never started the game in Oakland.
There you go.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's what.
But that's my point. Did anybody do any research?
Right.
All Cowboy fans knew that you had to protect Larry Brown because he stunk.
But if you think it worked for a guy who stunk, what do you think it's going to do for a guy who's
good? I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying I can't believe that it works. That I thought you would go through scouting and
you do, but it's a little extra shine right on the top.
I just think it makes someone say. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money. But I think it makes someone say, whether it's Snyder or your boy Jerry Jones, someone's going to go out, I'm not taking no for an answer. He's my top priority. At midnight on March 1st or whatever free agency actually starts this year, I'm going to make sure that I get him.
And the number that was tossed around before, I think with Samuel, was like $100 million. People were saying that it was could be in that range, $109 million. I don't think that's the number that people should pay the most attention to because according to this, it's the deal that Clemens signed last year, the first 3 years he was guaranteed almost $29 million.
So that's the number you.
That's the number you have to try to look at more.
But
is what is he going to get guaranteed?
It's going to be a big number. That's how NFL contracts.
See, but virtually no
NFL contract that you see reported gets within 25% of the number you see.
But that's why I think everybody is completely dismissing the Patriots because they don't give out $100 million contracts. Well, I think they would be willing to if you could structure it the way that Nate Clements thing is, where you could say, all right, $30 million over the first 3 years, that's not outrageous.
Right.
That's a lot of money. I'm not downplaying. It's a lot of money. But I think the Patriots would say, if I can give him a six-year deal and have the first – and he's looking for just Nate Clements money in those first 3 years, I'll give him all that garbage at the end that no one that he's not going to see. Or if he's that good, we can restructure him at the time when we get there. Like how many times we say it with the Colts? Oh, they're never going to be able to re-sign everybody this year. And then 20 minutes later, they've restructured three deals, and they can sign whoever they want.
Now, the only difference with the Nate Clements one was it was so cut and dry. Like, it didn't exist. If the contract went for more than a year, it automatically cut off the end of the contract and chopped it down to 8 years, 64 or 66
yeah,
million.
It might have been 64.
Like, it was – usually it's just an understanding that by the time we reach year seven, you're going to get cut or renegotiated. This one was flat
it was
out
actually,
like
– it is renegotiated
like
already.
Impossible. It was, like, written into it.
So, but I think that there's a chance that the Patriots might be willing to do something like that where they give him a lot of money, no doubt. I think he's gone too, but I think there's a chance because I think that you can structure these deals, and it's not necessarily $100 million.
Ty Law's coming back. Fred, you were right.
That'll help.
Now, how much do you think that'll be?
Told you.
You were right 3 years ago.
How much do you think that'll be?
Not much.
Well, he ain't coming back then.
That was totally taken out of context.
Have you seen him lately?
He's built like you.
Still playing decently.
No.
He's 5'7", 290.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a guy who's going to come in and play Asante Samuel if that's what you're looking for.
No, but he's heavy, and he realizes he's not going to get what he thinks he's worth.
I don't think he comes back.
What about Moss and the franchise tag? That's
Thursday,
that's
right?
Come up.
Ben Albert.
Yeah.
Isn't that Thursday?
Yeah.
They have to
Thursday
do that?
Or Friday.
I thought it was Thursday.
I got this, by the way.
You got the perfect push-ups?
Perfect push-ups, yeah.
Can you do one?
I can do it.
You got to be kidding
I'm good
me.
At push-ups.
I got to see this.
I got the perfect
gotta
push-ups.
See this.
They're good. They're excellent. They're well made.
Yeah, because when you extend your arms fully, your chest is touching the ground.
Can't you just do push-ups?
No, but these are good. These are really good.
All right, I say
they're
actually
perfect.
I say they don't make a bit of difference. But
so wait a minute. You're on the flat abs diet?
You think these guns are natural?
Oh, God. I thought you wanted those things, Tom.
No, I was just looking at them. I just don't see what they do.
No, they're good.
A push-up's a push-up.
They allow you to, take the pressure off your wrists.
So with losing some weight.
You can keep your wrist, you can keep your wrist straight instead of like that.
No, that's a good one.
All right, I never used them, so I don't know.
Neither has Fred, or he has, and he won't again.
No, I have.
Do you really have these?
I did. I bought
them. Did you just buy them?
Did you buy the Bass Pro?
I bought them a couple weeks ago.
I got to see this.
I want to see you do a push-up.
Oh, by the way.
I would like to try one. Just
you're a loser.
They look like you would get like your whole forearm and your buys and tries.
You're really hitting this hard, huh?
Fred, put that away, will you, please?
1,007.
Look at the pythons. No, but by the way.
He's just embarrassing himself.
Speaking of Bass Pro, the restaurant is open there. It's more of a kind of grill type restaurant downstairs, like a lounge.
It's dumb.
No.
No, because I wanted elk, and there's no elk.
No, but they have.
There's a restaurant in the Bass Pro.
In the Bass Pro now.
Or things of that elk.
Well, listen, I just think if you go to Bass Pro, you should
Saturday,
be able to get elk.
I went there. It was a Friday or Saturday. One of the nights I went there.
Elk,
and their wings are tremendous.
Are they ostrich?
Now, here's the deal with the wings. Like, usually I don't like a lot of, big wings I don't really like. I like them smaller.
Oh, they're big?
But,
they're ostrich?
But, I mean, they're still crispy and no fat. You're going to love them. They're excellent.
You're
really good.
So what do they have?
You
were
so good.
You now go to Bass Pro to eat.
No, listen to this.
On the flat abs diet.
Listen to this. I'm eating there, right?
I'm doing perfect push-ups. He puts a wing down on the floor.
Listen.
No wonder why he's so good.
He used to like big salads. Now he likes plain
breakfast. They came out piping hot, but they were so good, I ate them anyway. So halfway through the meal, I realized there's blood everywhere. My lip. I burned my lip.
You are the dumbest person on the planet.
And there was blood all over the napkin and my glass and everything. Because I couldn't wait to eat them. They were so delicious.
No! Bass Pro could just, anything they box up, sell, put a price on, you love it.
Tomorrow.
Well, that's where he goes, you guys are going to love them. I go, you're operating under the assumption I'm ever going to be in that store.
No, tomorrow we're going over there for lunch. We're going to have wings.
Who's we?
All of us.
Well, we're going to be in Indy.
I'll be on the big show.
You're buying me lunch tomorrow, but it's in Indy.
Fred, let me ask you a
question. Leaving at 1.
What do they have there? Like, what kind of food?
Oh, it's just sandwiches and appetizers. It's not,
When's your CBS place open?
September.
It'll be out in September.
That'll be good.
Too. It'll be gone by November.
Right. It'll say lease space here.
You know, you
You guys are jerks. Really are. You have no idea.
We started out so good. We were going to have a show that if anybody important was listening, we were going to be perfect.
We talked for a whole hour about that.
Now we're ripping.
I'm ripping
Craft Enterprises.
No, I'm ripping Fred. Fred's part in that.
I'm ripping Bass Pro because I think if you go to Bass Pro and you can get any hunting item, I want there on the menu to be something like.
Well, and this is a small little grill, but no, in the other Bass Pros, they have this award-winning full restaurant that has stuff like
now,
that.
Now, who's giving out those awards?
Exactly, because says here we have an award-winning blog.
I mean, so anyway, Keith says, looking ahead at next season, I think that a healthy Zach Thomas, if signed, plus Teddy Bruschi as a backup off the bench, along with maybe a Dan Connor or Jonathan Goff, would be a formidable group in the middle. However, it looks like the Pats will have to use their first pick on the top corner if they lose Asante and can't trade down. I'm all for trading down, but if not, Goff and Connor will both be gone by the time the Pats pick in the second round. This is where the loss of the forfeited pick for Spygate really cannot be underestimated and hurts more than most people realize because we would have had the top corner and one of the top inside linebackers setting this defense up with some youth and speed and playmakers for the future. It looks like a youthful playmaker in the middle will not happen again this year unless Pioli and Belichick can pull a rabbit out of the hat in the draft.
Well, there's also free agency.
That's right.
Yep.
How about they just draft? Why do they have to pull a rabbit out of a hat?
Ted Johnson was a second round pick.
Both of those guys going to be gone by 32? Will one of those guys be around at 32?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why you can't maneuver around to try to get up and get a guy if you think he's going to be available anyway. I mean, they have plenty of ammunition in the middle, right?
Yeah, it's been 8 years. So you would think by now they would have pulled a rabbit out of their hat.
Yeah, I think the bigger question is, do they think any of those guys is worth going after? Not whether or not they can get them, because I think they could get them if they wanted to.
Right.
And yeah. Maybe not Connor because I think he's going to be like a top 20 pick, top 15 maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably, but I think the combine is big for him too. I don't think
so. Maybe he's a little out of your league because you know what? He's not going to be a seventh pick. So it's hard to fall into the teens, you know, unless you trade maybe if you make a swap with someone now and then you can pick up a first rounder next year or something like that. I don't know. But. I mean, I don't see why you can't move around. Don't they have a couple of third-round picks, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a high one. Those
are good chips right there to move around in the second round. I think that's one of the underrated things the Patriots do is making moves in those middle rounds. Well, not really the middle rounds, but not just first-round picks.
Paid off last
second
year.
Second day.
I mean, how they moved up. They moved up and got Matt Light in the second round. I think they moved up and got, they part of the first round deal with Baltimore to get Eugene Wilson.
Clint Oldenburg.
I mean, some of them have worked, obviously. Some of them better than others. But I think you can move around when you have all those third round picks, second round picks.
It's gotten so bad the Bills using the fans argument. Well, our second round pick was Wes Welker and our fourth round pick was Randy Moss.
Gerard is from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. man, did I have the worst nightmare ever last night. I dreamt that in a devastating loss, the Giants pulled the upset of a lifetime in beating the Patriots. I knew right away that I had to have been dreaming because Belichick was outcoached. Brady was not headbutting teammates. The O-line played their worst game of the season. Samuel missed the perfect interception, and Merriweather still couldn't hold on to the damn ball. And to top it all off, the greatest offense in the history of the game was held to just 14 points. Like that would honestly ever happen. And just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, it did. After the loss, Fred was so affected by the game that he went MIA. Next thing you know, Eric is hosting the show and talking about possibly gay coaches in the NFL and Rhode Island of all
places. Topic.
Even though Paul was still fat, Tom was still a douchebag complaining about food, and Andy's head was still as huge as Charlie Weiss's ass. Oh. I knew it was all a dream. Thank God. With the big game just a few days away, all I can say is 19-0, here we come.
I do have something to add. We had an argument on the show where the best restaurants were, restaurants either Rhode Island or Massachusetts. Well, whatever magazine.
And it was a fact, according to Eric, that Rhode Island's Federal Hill was better.
The main food,
than what?
The North End in Boston.
Oh, it is.
All right.
Thank you, Fred.
Fact. Can I say something? I'm just telling you this. The main food magazine, whatever it is, was
Zagat's?
Well, sure.
Voters.
Came out with the top 10 places to eat.
Zagat rhymes
top
with.
Top 10 restaurants.
Oh, see,
Boston was number 9.
Providence was not in the top 10. So yeah. that's from a.
Do you think anybody really reads those things?
Well done.
The restaurants think so. Don't they always put it on their little thingy? Zagat rated?
No, Federal Hill.
Andy, you say Zagats. I say Zagats.
Antwell's. Is it Antwell's Avenue?
Atwell's.
Atwell's Avenue.
No one's saying that Providence doesn't have good restaurants, Fred.
He said it was a fact that they are better.
It's fact. It's better.
That's not a fact.
I think a lot of people who have done both
not
that
ties to organized crime.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Fred.
It's true.
There's no ties to organized crime in North End.
I make fun of Rhode Island as much as anyone, but I got to give credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
So you're saying it's a fact that they're better.
I think
most people who've had a
I think
taste
if you
of both
poll
would agree.
The critics, they'll say that Federal Hill doesn't get the credit, but
I
it's
love a restaurant there, but I'm not willing to say it's a fact that they're better.
Okay. I haven't been to enough at either spot, really.
I got a question. Anyone else think Scott Pioli's a little bit overrated?
No. Well, yeah, but
because I'm looking
why?
At these drafts.
Your reasons.
I'm looking at these drafts the last couple of years. They're not very good.
See, I don't include Scott Pioli in the equation.
Because
Bill
if
Belichick's
you're talking
team.
About the trades that brought Welker and Moss here, that's Belichick. That's Belichick.
See, I think the draft. I think it's
I
all
think
Belichick.
Everything is Belichick.
It's his team. You get whatever the credit is to be divvied out or
so
the
Belichick's
blame.
Belichick's to blame for this?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how I feel. I think that Bill is the de facto
the
GM.
The end all.
And he does it all.
But when you're talking, and let's be honest,
his crew,
we're
crew.
Saying it like it is. We're talking about that they need young talent. I'm looking at these last few drafts. That's where it's supposed to be.
That's why I think there is.
This last year's draft is a joke.
Yep. There is some concern there, I think. And they've done such a remarkable job of worrying about the short term and the long term. But right now, I don't think the long term looks great.
Nope.
Right. In that linebacker situation,
but
you have to say so.
In a lot of areas, not just linebackers.
But Tom, the tight ends. They've drafted about 50 tight ends.
Yeah, but I think he can pick them up.
But
Tom,
I'm just saying. But they're using,
but
you
don't
using
waste
third, fourth round
picks.
Round
well, Dave Thomas got hurt, you know.
Spirit Mills was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
yeah.
Let's see. Meech from Montreal says.
See what happens when we try to talk football. He just blows us off.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd follow up on the question I asked before the Super Bowl. How do you think Moss feels about his involvement in the Super Bowl? The team lost, so surely he'll still want to fight for a ring. And as far as his individual performance, he caught a few balls. And besides the timing, his TD was a somewhat unspectacular catch. So the big question is, do you feel.
Besides the timing.
Yeah. Do you feel Randy? Yeah, it only gave them the lead. Do you feel Randy will have the motivation going into next year's playoff because his work in this year's playoffs was limited? And might he start causing friction between himself and Brady if he doesn't get more balls thrown his way come January?
Well, that's something I think the second part of that might be worth talking about. Do you think that? And I'm not saying that teams figured out a way to stop him, but do you think that going into next year, wouldn't it stand to reason that teams are going to kind of use the approach that teams used over the last month or so, make sure that he doesn't kill us.
Right.
And then does that cause him to, instead of catching 100 balls for 1,500 yards, you know, maybe those numbers are, you know, cut in half. And, you know, maybe he's not quite the happy camper that he was. That I would worry about more than, you know, any kind of motivation or because I think he wants to win. But I think Randy Moss plays hard when he thinks that there's a chance to win. I don't
he's
worry
a showman.
About that.
He wants to make plays, win games,
yes.
Make highlights, all that.
But I think if he's not the focal point of the offense the way he was, say, for 14 straight games.
Right, because he's a showman.
I think
you
there's
can't
a chance.
Be a showman when you're a decoy.
Yeah,
it's like being a lead actor, and then they say, yes. Well, you know, just take this little role in the corner. No, you don't do
it's
that.
Hard
I'm
to,
a showman.
It's hard to be a cameo player when you're Randy Moss. And he was a cameo guy
like
in the
Knight
playoffs.
Rider on Sunday.
I mean, let's call it like it is. Those two playoff games, he was a cameo. He was a secondary player in that offense.
Right.
They didn't look to him a lot. What was the stat that Felger kept spouting off? As much as I hate to credit them, all the red zone.
I thought you were going to run down Randy Moss's postseason resume. One catch,
no.
One restraining order.
So why were you all nervous that I was going to say it when you were just going to say it anyway?
I just thought it was weird you were going to bring it up.
No, the red zone snaps.
You brought it up.
They had so many red zone snaps and didn't throw the ball to him once in the play, in the two playoff games. And then obviously in the Super Bowl, he was a little bit better, but still not really the focal point.
But I thought in the Super Bowl it was as much about Brady not
yes.
being
Brady
whether
missed,
they were not on the same page.
Brady was
Brady
missing open
poorly,
receivers in that game because he didn't
Moss
have the time.
A couple times deep balls that
didn't even give him a chance to make a play. Like 6-8 yards away. Then obviously the one right before the touchdown where he just missed him wide open. So I thought that.
But I worry about that. That part of it, that second part of that email, I do have concerns about that. If teams are going to go in and they finally have figured out how to make sure that he doesn't catch 12 passes for 150 yards. I wonder how he reacts to that, if he's just kind of another piece of the puzzle, the way everybody else is here in New England.
Fred, in this post-survey era, am I still allowed to give out the Urban Dictionary word of the day?
Sure.
This one's, courtesy of our little debate about food and Eric, is the Rhode Island switcheroo. The Rhode Island switcheroo.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with twins?
No.
Okay.
Well, along those lines that you're thinking, but it's much funnier, the whole... You know, impossible. Another one of those that I say no one's ever done and virtually impossible to do.
Henry from Norway.
Hank!
He says, I know you guys don't want Zach Thomas. I think he can be a good fit for us if he can handle the 3-4 system. And after all, he's a better linebacker than Seau and Bruschi, in my opinion. There is no better option at the number 7 than to draft Keith Rivers or Vernon Golston. No premier cornerback. No one wants to trade with us, so we got to use the number 7 pick. If we draft Rivers, we can use him on the inside with Zach Thomas and Bruschi. If we use Vrabel and Adelis, Thomas on the outside, Colvin either gets cut or is a reserve. If we draft Golston, we use him and Vrabel on the outside, Adelis and Zach Thomas and Bruschi on the inside. Wouldn't this be a better defense than in 07?
I don't think... I'm not big on Rivers on the inside of a 3-4 defense.
I'm not either. And Golston may go to the Jets at 6.
And still, we always... We can't get him to draft an inside linebacker. Then you look at the outside linebacker spot, and we always hear how hard it is to make that transition from defensive end to outside linebacker. Are you going to use the 7th pick? If they don't, you know what I mean? If they don't want to use the 25th or 27th pick on a guy like that, are they going to use the 7th pick on a guy like that? I just, but that's a tough spot to be because the needs that they have don't really coincide with the 7th pick in the draft.
Remember last year when we were joking that they don't care about this draft. They're looking forward to next year.
Well, that's when we thought
next year's things
were coming out.
Just shows you shouldn't look ahead.
Next year's draft, watch out.
The outside guys, though, that's where they're going to get that. I mean, let's face it. They're going to get defensive ends.
The premier guy.
Yeah, they're going to get defensive ends and make them linebackers. That's what they do. All their linebackers play defensive
line. But there's nobody, according to the experts,
no, I'm not
that's
saying...
really DeMarcus Ware, Sean Merriman, freak of athletic.
I agree. I'm not saying to pick with number 7.
Right. They're just saying that Golston is like the only pass rusher. The Jets really need a no pass rush last year that they might take him there.
Do you think a 3-4 team is going to do that with Chris Long?
Do what?
Make him an outside linebacker?
Possibly. I'll be honest. I think he's, I don't know. I think he's overrated and a bit of a tweener.
Well,
I'm not sure what he's going to do.
It's funny because everybody says, well, he could do it because he played an Al Groh system. Because he played an Al Groh system means he could be the 3-4 end.
Right. He's undersized for that.
Right. He is, I mean.
That's why I think he's caught between.
That's why I think that he will make the move to outside linebacker because I think that if you look at him, it's Mike Vrabel.
Right.
And size. And Mike Vrabel, they tried for a while, and it didn't really work, and then he went to
linebacker. And Mike Vrabel, I don't think he's the most physically gifted person. He's a very good all-around athlete, but I don't think he's a wow athlete. You know, Mike Vrabel was a guy you got as a freaking free agent at the bottom of the barrel.
He does a lot of different things.
Chris Long is going to go in the top 5 picks.
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Vrabel
does
a lot of
Long in the third round and try to do that, sure.
You know what I think?
I'm risking the top 5 pick.
You know what I think this draft is? If you go
crappy.
Well, you know, if you go back and look at that Emmitt Smith draft, because I always like to see the guys.
God, you're a loser.
Well, no, I
go back and look at that Emmitt Smith.
Because why? Everybody doesn't do that.
No, but it's cool to go back and look at drafts and see like the guys they passed up on. That was one of those drafts. That was one of those drafts. I was actually doing it for something here.
Come on,
what it was. But I looked at that draft, and a lot of the guys picked at the top end, the same position picked later on in the draft, ended up being better players. I think you might see that this year, where you get the offensive tackles, the defensive ends, and later on at 20, 22, 23, those players might end up being the better players. That's why I think a lot of teams like the Patriots are trying to get out of that 7th spot, because there's just no one there. There's no LaRon Landry. There's no guy that you covet there.
That I find interesting, too. It's for a while now, it seemed like there's been a great safety.
Yeah, I haven't heard one.
And now there's no great safeties.
Phillips from Miami is like the big name.
No great safeties.
No. We had Landry. You had Sean Taylor. You had Dante Whitner and Michael Huff.
Yeah. I mean, you've had top 10, 12.
Michael Griffin.
Michael Griffin's another one. Yeah, I mean, you've had a run
of... Ed Reed's not that old.
I mean, right, you've had a run of about four, five, 6 years now.
Who was the second safety taken in that draft?
Who was the first? Roy Williams?
Yeah.
But even...
Well, you're going to look back at that Roy Williams draft.
But, even, Tom, as much as you're down on Roy Williams is another one in that...
At least coming into the league.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nobody that they're even pretending.
And Roy Williams didn't always stink either.
No,
he's not...
He's fallen off the last couple years.
But there's nobody that's even thought of in that way. There's nobody that's thought of in that way in any position.
That's why I find
every position.
That's an interesting dynamic, though, because that was a position that was kind of... really blossoming. That was the new thing. Like these top 10 safeties
went back next year.
Next year is going to be a
great.
I think the fact that this isn't a top heavy draft, you don't have real blue chippers, that's going to make day one or the first round even that much more interesting.
Well, because no one's going to. I think that people are going to really have a hard time. Forecasting.
Well, now they're saying.
I mean,
no quarterbacks in the top 20.
Right.
Well, you know what that happens.
I saw somewhere Chad Henne was like the second quarterback that people.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. When you have a draft like this, you're going to have a lot of teams have a lot of different boards,
right?
And there's going to be one player that might be slipping to 18, who a team had at 8,
right?
And you're going to try to get him, and you're going to have all that moving around going on,
right. Especially when you consider it both horizontally and vertically.
He loves throwing that one out there, even when I'm not paying attention.
Yes, Gary. All right, never mind. Henry also finishes up.
Hank!
He says, we are at war, gentlemen, and we are going into the 08 season with more vengeance than ever. People will get hurt. We will destroy everybody.
Well, that's one theory. The other theory is you're out of gas. You used that theory last year.
No,
what are you going to do, go 18-0?
Fred, when did you have time to write an email while you were hosting the show?
That's Henry from Norvay.
Norvay.
I just got to say one thing. I'm going to pull an Andy Hart here. For some reason, on all three TVs, they keep showing Steeler highlights. They would destroy the Patriots. That defense that they keep showing, unbelievable.
Or the Bears.
Anybody.
I think these Raiders would destroy the Patriots physically.
Well, this is what I was talking, the argument
look
about the league itself. I look at some of the, maybe it's just because I was a kid then and you're more impressionable, but the teams that the champs had to go through to get there in the 70s. In the AFC, you had to beat the Raiders. You had to beat the Dolphins.
You say that as Lynn Swann's being carted off.
Right.
Stretcher.
Was it Atkinson?
Oh, that's a great picture.
Was it Atkinson or Tatum?
It was Atkinson who hit him that
But
time.
Earlier, there was one where the Raiders picked off a pass, and the guy was running parallel to get to the sideline. He was just going to run out of bounds. And Lynn Swann is running parallel with him to make sure he doesn't turn upfield. And another Raider comes from behind and cuts him in the back of the knee just as they go out of bounds.
Most people believe that that time there in the 70s when those two teams played, that was the best rivalry between two teams. And the Steelers won most of them and got the Super Bowl titles.
Right.
But like you're saying, Paul, a lot of people thought like the Cowboys and the Raiders of that generation, those were some of the best teams that ever played.
That's
they didn't
my point.
Win anything.
That's my point. Like in the AFC in the 70s,
like
they
Joe
had
Frazier.
Pittsburgh had to get by Miami and Oakland and even Houston and those kinds of teams. Then you go to the 80s and the NFC teams, and it was the Giants, the Redskins, the Cowboys early, the Niners late,
Right.
The Rams were good teams, and they never won anything.
Yeah. Have another cigarette, Andy.
I've been on medicine for a week and a half.
And we've got to talk about Joe Frazier instead.
Yeah, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, if a lot of people say if he wasn't in the era of Muhammad Ali, he would have been one of the greatest.
I know what your point was, but,
I thought you were mistaking him for Joe Green.
That's what I thought. I thought he meant Joe Green.
I know who Joe Green is. You weren't there
at
the media center.
He met him.
Hey, Mean Joe.
Hey, Mean Joe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he threw up his jersey.
Number one sign.
Here's a Coke.
Chris Simonelli, of course, he's our lunch buyer today.
Christian, you're the best.
He gets first-class treatment with his email. He says, let me start by saying, I actually don't mind Felger. However, is there a bigger rhymes with hay than Felger? Did you see him on Sports Tonight last night?
With flip-flops
and legs crossed like a chick.
I agree. 100% rhymes with hay.
What was he doing? He crosses his legs like
a
chick. He
had flip-flops on.
I can't
hear
that.
They're in Florida. They're at spring training.
I don't care.
It's a lot, but it's very, very
rhymes
with hay.
You know how I feel about flip-flops.
This ball that he threw.
Plus, he had long pants on.
Well, he shouldn't be wearing flip-flops.
Long pants
ever on TV. Never. Ever.
His legs were crossed.
He had khakis on.
It was.
I mean, if he had shorts on.
What is that?
I don't know.
Plus, it's in the middle of February. What the hell's
he's
doing?
They're in Florida.
Oh, he's in Florida.
They're at
but khakis with
that's why you haven't seen Andy and I on lately.
Yeah, yeah, I don't watch that show, but anyway.
Else does.
It's awful. Some of the guests they have.
See, they went to HD, Fred? Paul and HD.
Oh, I know. They do.
You let me know. You let me know the first time you're on. I'm taping that sucker.
Shut up.
Oh, the agony.
Brian from Aspen, Colorado.
Oh, is this our beach? Our ski bum listener?
Ski bum, yep. He says, I'm reading on some blogs that Chad Jackson has 1 foot out the door. Are you guys hearing that as well?
What blogs?
Ours.
We wouldn't know because we have the second worst blog in Boston.
Well, we've speculated, based on his track record over the first couple of years, that I would not be shocked to see him cut at the end of training camp.
And
that just hasn't worked out.
I will repeat the nugget that somebody told me during the summer last year before training camp started. Chad Jackson will never play for the Patriots again. That's already been proven.
I was
going to
say
incorrect.
He already played, right?
Okay, but...
You get the point.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, and who knows?
And
we have not heard anything official about
that.
And
I saw someone wrote into us, I think, that said Chad Jackson showed me something. What has he shown you?
Showing you something on kickoff return.
He hasn't shown me anything. Not one thing that would make me think he could play in the NFL.
He showed me one game. I thought the Jets game he played okay.
The first one?
I don't know. It was a long time ago now. He made a nice catch where he came back for the ball.
That was
saved an interception for Tom Brady's ass.
And I also thought he showed no separation on that play.
His first game. He caught a seam route for a touchdown.
Yeah, but it wasn't a touchdown. It was
downfield, down the field.
Yeah,
and then he caught the touchdown.
And then he had that play against Minnesota in the Monday night game, even though the game was over when he did it. He made a nice cut back to the inside, spun through a couple of guys, and dove forward for a touchdown.
That one didn't register on my radar.
I mean, the fact that he has like 15 career catches and 3 touchdowns is pretty impressive, I guess. I
got to tell you, he peaked in terms of being impressive on that show where I saw him stand between a bunch of jugs and they just shot the balls at his face.
Jugs machine.
See,
that's
I knew
that's
it was
too easy.
I can't do it, Fred. I'm just going to say it. I can't do it.
Gary's wiping his eyes.
I can't be serious.
You don't have to be.
There were jugs and balls and
let's see, Louis from Tampa.
Faces. I feel like I'm doing stripper's job.
Louis from Tampa.
I
welcome.
Can't believe
to the...
that wasn't strippers, by the way.
He should pay that guy to get the stripper's license.
Wasn't him. No.
Oh. Let's see. Oh. He says. This is Louis from Tampa. Welcome to the desert of the offseason. No lunch, no call, Cali girl, and a full-time dose of Eric. I don't have any more names to the gay coaches list because I couldn't check the NFL background of Tony Kornheiser.
Fred, I thought we weren't allowed to talk about gay stuff on the show anymore.
No, we just can't make fun of gay people. I don't think that's right.
Because this was not funny when we were doing this.
No,
this was based in my experiences in health class where I was always told that like
it's one out of every nine.
One in nine.
I'm sure,
every baseball team.
I'm sure on average every team has at least one gay person, which is all the reason why we shouldn't make fun of gay.
We're not making fun.
We're not. But it turned into speculation of which former coaches could be gay.
Right, well,
which we probably wanted to steer clear of.
Gary held up a sign that said, borderline libel, move on.
One question, will the Patriots draft a corner regardless of Samuel's situation?
Draft one?
Yes.
Probably.
They will draft one.
But they may be drafting offensive linemen again like they did last year.
Oh, you're going to get – what's his – Katie?
Clady.
What's his name? Clady? Isn't that the one you're
Why
on?
Did you get
Ryan Clady.
Tom looks at him like, I'm going to stab you right now.
Seventh pick, Ryan Clady.
That's
Book
what
it.
They're going to take
it.
If they stay
Book
at seventh.
Book it.
We'll see how funny this is in April.
I will.
Because I want to hear all the fans
when
say
Gary,
that.
Gary, you got together that sound with the 47th pick.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers
If
select.
He doesn't go in the top 20, I'll walk home.
20?
We went from 7 to 20.
And
what
he
happened?
A
no,
mile
you
away.
Said, you said top 40. I said he'll at least go in the top 20. Listen, I'm saying this before the combine. Come on, that's top 20. I'm saying there he goes, top 20.
There he goes.
If he doesn't make it, I'll walk home. But don't tell me that's a heck of a walk.
What, 2 miles?
Walk. Hey, if he's got to go all the way down North Street, that's a long walk.
No cutting,
through the access road either.
Like past Stop and Shop in.
You could use the access road though.
No cutting through the access road.
I'll walk home.
Joel from Merrimack, New Hampshire. You know what really sucks? Last Thursday, as I was listening to PFW, my favorite daytime soap, Tom Casale and crew, Fred was off counting his millions, I assume, were busily assuring the Patriot faithful that there was now no way we would even glance at, much less make an offer to Zach Thomas. And as I was listening and busy stumbling.
Did you really say that?
No, we never said that.
We didn't.
Did you really say that? Gary's giving him the nod.
Where's Two Gender? He'll have that even.
Gary's giving him the nod.
They would never make an offer to him? I don't think we said that.
I remember
Gary,
saying that. I don't think they should.
I remember saying
they wouldn't.
Gary not being here.
That's true. Gary wasn't here. And he got ripped a lot because Tom
didn't listen.
Yeah, but that's why he was listening, because we were ripping him.
I said I think.
We got that nice email. What do you
all say we?
I think we said I wouldn't. I said I wouldn't because of his concussions. I don't think we said the Patriots never would.
Well, maybe we misspoke.
I didn't.
Well, you might have misremembered.
Did you hear someone, by the way, said that actually is a word?
Misremember?
Yeah.
Well, I never heard it
Maybe.
Before.
I never
Clemens
heard it
is the genius, and we're all idiots.
Absolutely. Idiot savant.
I don't think that's true.
And as I was listening...
I don't think they should have interest in Zach Thomas. How's that? Okay. Does that make any...
I think out of respect you give him an offer.
Out of respect for what?
You played against
respect for what? That's stupid.
For his career.
That's
what
stupid.
He's, what he's
if
done
Troy Brown doesn't play in the Super Bowl out of respect, then why are we offering contracts out of respect?
You don't know what the offer was.
Well, it's got to be the veteran minimum because he's a veteran.
Maybe with Bill Parm.
So,
who knows?
So Troy Brown's a free agent right now. Should like the Jets, out of respect, give him an offer?
If he decided to go
Bills?
On the market, yeah.
He's on the market. He's a free agent.
Yeah, but he hasn't shopped himself. As I was listening and busily stuffing my face with a chicken parm sub, chuckling at Tom's rant against Stripper for not sending him a sub, I was wholeheartedly agreeing with you guys. Please tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me it ain't so. Please reassure me that we did not make an offer to Zach Thomas, one concussion away from a lobotomy. Thomas, Jesus, first is TJ, ain't worked in a year, Slaughter. Now Zach Thomas. I thought the idea was to get younger and faster at linebacker. Why don't we give Roman a call? I'm sure his tank is only a few fumes above E. Better yet, Al Wilson. Then we can call Bill Polian and beg him to lobby for a new NFL rule requiring all teams to slow down a step for the Geriatriots.
Geriatriots.
Are you now required to be a card-carrying member of the AARP to get a shot at being a Patriots linebacker? I'm beginning to question in Bill We Trust motto that gets paraded out anytime Bill does something questionable. 2 years in a row at the most important game of the season, and our aged linebacker crew runs out of gas. And what do? Inject the team with some new blood? No. We supply them with more senior citizens to commiserate with. I'm starting to get a wee bit nervous about next season already.
Wow.
Joel in
Fred,
Merrimack, New Hampshire.
They've moved on, but again, not in the direction,
not the direction you
wanted.
You were hoping.
They've moved on, so we're going to suck.
The reasons that he doesn't want Zach Thomas are the reasons I don't know. But I just think that you're just putting it off. You know, like Tom said, 8 years since they've had 8 years to get some youth at the position, and they haven't. I'd like to see that rectified.
Now, and we do have the misremember is a word. It's to remember incorrectly, to fail to remember, forget.
Okay.
So he was right.
There it is.
All right.
Now,
let's
say Thomas had accepted this deal that was offered to him yesterday. I thought free agency started in like 2 weeks.
Well, no.
But he is
cut.
He was released.
Yeah, that's a difference.
Those
so
guys
if you're not
are
associated
game.
With any team.
He's a straight free agent. Yeah. He's not awaiting to be on free agency. Technically,
like the TJ
Slaughter Crumpler
thing.
Can sign with anybody.
Right.
See, Asante Samuel. Asante Samuel right now is still under contract to the New England Patriots. He doesn't become a free agent until March
whenever
free agency
29.
Period starts.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the difference.
Okay.
A guy got released, he's immediately a street free agent.
All
he's
right.
available to anybody.
Let's see. Mike Jenkins.
Pickle Gherkin, yeah.
He says, how's it going, guys? It's Colin from... Oh.
Mike Jenkins is the cornerback from South Florida.
He had it at the end.
Oh, I was thinking Michael Gherkin.
No,
maybe he listens to the show.
It's Colin from Bristol, Connecticut.
Colin!
In this year's draft, who would you pick with the first and second picks for cornerback and linebacker from this list? Jonathan Goff of Vanderbilt, Tavares Gooden out of Miami, Curtis Lofton of Oklahoma. Who would you pick?
Lofton. Goff.
Lofton, huh?
And Goff.
And for cornerback, Dominique Cromartie, Aqib Talib, or Mike Jenkins?
I have no idea.
Mike Jenkins.
I take Aqib Talib.
Just because you like the name?
Yeah, what the hell?
I would take Antoine Kayson until he runs a
5.940.
Strippers.
Just do us a favor. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to give Strippers an assignment. I would like by next show an email that has a detailed breakdown of Strippers' opinion on Lofton, because I'm guessing he's seen every game, every play, and could give us a legitimate scouting report, and I'd be interested to see what his opinion is.
All right. Matt,
Fred, are you going to do us a solid and come up with one of those players that you always seem to,
yeah.
that you fall in love
well,
with?
Well, I don't usually do that until, you know, the summer.
Till our lads send him to list.
No. I want before the draft.
Oh, before the draft you want a guy?
You know, one of those potential sixth-rounders that
you uncover. Yeah, that guy, Matt guy, for the Diego State.
I really like this guy. I really like
Matt who? What?
He's still playing in the league.
Yeah, he's with the Eagles.
I think he might be a free agent, actually.
Nice little linebacker.
Nice.
I can't remember his name now.
Was he the reason they cut Trotter?
I don't know.
To play?
But I like when Fred comes up with his little diamonds in the rough.
And Lord only knows where they come from.
No.
And keep in mind, they're diamonds in the rough.
Lads.
They're from a man who the wings were so good he ignored the fact that he had burnt some blood on his lips.
Barbecue.
Have you been saving that for a little bit? You're hoping that to come back?
Matt from Oregon, any idea how the IR guys are coming along with thinking about all of these off-season moves? It's easy to forget about some of the good players we already have. I'm particularly interested in Sammy Morris and David Thomas, but not in a gay way, of course. Thanks again for doing a great job, and please don't cut us all back to one fix a week. I don't think I could handle it.
Well, I'd probably say the same thing about all those guys. They're better today than they were yesterday. Moving in the right direction.
But I don't.
David Thomas had a belly at the pregame party, so I've now poo-pooed him. I think he's never going to be what he could
have
been.
The difference to me with this year, as opposed to the last few years,
Thomas, his baby,
is I don't think they had really any standout player, any difference-making kind of players on IR. Last year,
Sammy Morris was pretty good.
In the Colts game. After the Colts game, they were missing, you know, Seau, Harrison, you know, 3-4 guys that I think, you know, theoretically could have made a difference. I really don't think they were missing anybody in the Super
Chad
Bowl
Scott?
That could have made a difference. No. I mean, I don't think they need
you're
those guys.
Names
I don't think they're stiffs, but do you think Sammy Morris would have made a difference in the Super Bowl?
You never know, Paul. Game that close?
You know, the only one I think you can make an argument for is Colvin because that moves Thomas back inside. Maybe, you know, things change. I don't know.
He probably doesn't have a good game.
I was going to say, Thomas had his best game on the outside.
I'm just saying, but maybe somehow. I mean, look, defense wasn't the problem.
Well, that Colvin never makes a play.
Elbow me when he makes a play.
I started off by saying I don't think that any of the guys were difference makers that were on IR this year. They were remarkably healthy all year.
Yeah.
They had a handful of guys on IR, and most of those guys were backups.
Plus, he probably couldn't have sold his Escalade and Super Bowl tickets online if he wasn't on IR.
You know, I certainly don't think having Sammy Morris on IR cost them the Super Bowl.
All right. That's going to
Wait. Can I give Strippers quick evaluation of Curtis Lofton?
Sure.
Might run a 4-6, maybe a high 4-6. Okay. But
well,
he's a football player.
Linebacker.
Led the Big 12 in tackles. He makes plays, played middle linebacker for the Sooners 4-3-D. Might measure 6 foot even. Did anyone think Lofa Tatupu was going to be a Pro Bowler? He wasn't fast, right? Well, if he's Lofa Tatupu, I don't want him. I don't think he fits this system.
Well, Lofa Tatupu, I'll admit to being as wrong about a guy as I could. I didn't think he would be much of a player, but he was considered fast, wasn't he?
Yeah, he could run around.
Yeah.
But 4-6 is fast for a linebacker. Yeah.
But wasn't Tatupu considered small and athletic?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't think he'd be much of a fit for the Patriots, but you know,
right.
I think he's a football player. I think he'd fit anywhere.
You know what?
I think he's proven me wrong.
They need somebody small and athletic. Maybe it's time they start drafting them.
Well, that's why we've gone down that whole Chris
Ferreira.
What?
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you Thursday at 2. It'll just be Paul and myself and whoever else we bring on. And Tom's going to be here. All right, goodbye.